I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 720 WGN. Good morning. Justin Kaufman here. Mark Carmen, Mary Sandberg, Mary Vanderbilt, Steve Rosanchin, and of course, Steve Cochran. Steve Cochran Show with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Whether you're going to work, coming home, listening, coffee in bed, whatever you're doing, we got you this morning. Great show. Governor Bruce Rauner is going to join us in studio coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Exciting about that to have him in. Obviously, the election mere weeks away. It seems implausible that this thing is actually having an ending since they've been going at it since a year plus now. Wow.
I want to know when whoever wins, because, you know, in his last election, it was not a money battle. And so for this one, that night, whoever wins, I want someone to ask the other person, how do you feel about you spent all this money,
right?
You know, personal money.
And I want to know what kind of election night party they're throwing.
I was going to say they're probably going to both be really good. So the reporters are going to be fighting as to who's going to go to which party.
Yeah, it better be. Yeah, it better be.
I want to ask you a question. When the governor walks in here, no one's listening right now, will you be like a little bit nervous? The governor.
The governor, the official.
When he walks
the
in.
The leader of the state when he walks in.
When he walks in, do you feel it a little bit more in the gut?
You know, and I know this from here a little bit, but I remember whenever a governor or a mayor would come through at other studios I've worked at, they have lead security.
Right.
And they have
that comes in an hour before. They're going to...
Yeah. So they know pretty far in advance. Like, you get that nervous feeling that people are coming in hours ahead of time because suits start walking in with
an officer comes in to, like, case the joint to make sure we've got nothing bad going on.
Nothing
that always makes me snap into better behavior.
Nothing like going to work and having an officer walk through while you're doing your morning, drinking your morning coffee.
Illinois State Troopers on the job.
That's right. So, Governor Rauner in studio this morning. Steve Cochran, good morning.
8:40, by the way, for the governor. Hawks tickets, anybody want them?
I do.
Okay.
Would love a
pair. I missed overtime yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
Ooh. What happened?
What?
I got busy. So how did we go from it looked like Miami was going to win to the Bears looked like they were going to win to a Miami winning field goal?
Nail biter.
Give me the answer
in
10 seconds.
it's called, it's a make and miss league, Steve. Sometimes you make them, sometimes you miss them,
good.
And sometimes...
Hey, nice. First cliche of the morning, dude.
That's
well done.
Cliche.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
It was, I would also use the word nauseating. I'd throw that one in there.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's jump to the top six at six. Speaking of nauseating, let's do that right now. Or right now. Or even right now.
Oh, no. Technical difficulties.
Somebody changed my settings over here. So
perfect.
Sorry.
Here we go. Item number one.
Let's blame Frank and Kathy Hart. I bet it was Frank Fontana and Kathy Hart that changed
Kathy's like, we do this differently at the mix, and she changed. She made everything left-handed.
President Trump called Defense Secretary Jim Mattis sort of a Democrat in an interview on 60 Minutes last night. The president said he didn't know whether Mr. Mattis would be the next major departure from his administration. He also said that NATO was formed to screw us on trade. Listen, history schmistery. Item number two. Sears Holding Corp has filed for bankruptcy protection. So we're going to get a big bankruptcy sale? I feel badly for the people that still have jobs there.
I was going to say, I don't know what's left on the shelves.
It's not a good sign. We're getting more information on this morning, guys. Eddie Lampert, the CEO, is stepping down. They're going to close 142 more stores. I don't even think they have that many. Of course, this also involves...
Well, you can't close them if you don't have them, right?
Okay, then why did they just rebuild that store in Oak Brook? It is beautiful. I mean, they tore the whole thing down and they built it as one big, huge floor now.
They were hopeful.
I don't know, but
they were having their hopeful face.
Gorgeous in there. I haven't been there yet, but I'm going to try it out.
A last ditch. Well, yeah, spent some money there.
Yeah.
Last ditch effort to save an American icon that shaped shopping habits for more than a century. The Sears catalog. That was good stuff.
That was my favorite, the Wish book.
It's good stuff.
That's the only way I got Christmas presents every year, I think.
What about Santa Claus?
I know, right?
Well, I guess that was my Santa Claus.
Supporters who think this next, by the way. Supporters who think Susana Mendoza, the comptroller, should run for Chicago mayor, have started gathering petition signatures. She'd need to make a bid. I would support her if she hadn't lied blatantly about me in public, and I can't support her because of that.
You? She lied about you?
Yeah. She tried to associate me with a group that abused women.
What?
Yeah, it's a long story.
She said that she's still just focusing on her race. When she was asked about these supporters gathering these signatures,
she lied. She lied in public about me. So you know, and she never apologized.
She has a really intriguing commercial she's running right now. She's like, I played soccer and I was really good. And
which part of it intrigues you?
It's the long storytelling of this long commercial. Like, there's this story where she's...
Are we sure she played soccer?
She says in there's pictures of her, and she says, no one thought I could do it, you know, and then you're like, okay, I get it, and you did it, so move on. But then it's like, then they go to the coach. She was so good, and no one thought she got... I'm like, all right, we get the story. Move on to the next thing. Show us some accomplishments.
Well, no, I think we've reached a point where the best case for the mayor of Chicago is someone who can score. Someone who plays soccer.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I think it was a story about against the odds. Coming up against the odds. And she does not back down from a challenge. I think it was a long story.
Next, Saudi Arabia threatens retaliation if hit with sanctions over a missing journalist. That begins to be the Khashoggi story. And Saudi Arabia supposedly had a nice call with Turkey over the weekend. So if there's some sort of unholy alliance going on, we don't know the details quite yet. Next. Bears lose, but Justin goes into the 16-inch softball Hall of Fame.
No, I went into the building. I didn't get in. Like, I wasn't. That sounds like you're inducted.
We saw a picture of you in a plexiglass.
Oh, man,
thing.
It was so fun, you guys.
You were awful dressed up.
We dressed up like it was a visit to the White House.
Show some respect.
To show respect for 16-inch softball Hall of Fame in Forest Park.
This is a George Blissom.
Yeah, we went out with George.
Have you been out there?
Frank Lentine.
I have.
Yeah.
Is it only open like 12 to 2 on Sundays?
12 to 4.
12 to 4 on Saturdays, Mary. You nailed it. George Bliss and Frank Lentine, who's a long 12-time champion, who showed us his championship photos from 1971. And he gave us a tour, and we took the picture. We all dressed up in suits, so it was like a visit to the White House, you know, when the Patriots go to the White House.
I think it's a nice honor.
Yeah, and they put up my picture in the lobby above the donation box.
How do we know if it stayed there?
They said it's temporary. That's all they would tell me.
Else goes there?
I don't know. Probably info for the cookout or for the potluck that's coming up. Whatever it might be, I just feel like I was... But it was awesome to
have a nice touch.
A picture of my... In uniform that they took off of Facebook.
Do you feel like you helped raise money?
I feel like...
Like how much was in the donation box?
There was like $4.25. And that could have been me, so...
Congratulations.
Your hands look very healthy for a 16-inch guy,
right?
Steve.
It's the hand-eye coordination,
That's because he joined the season with like 4 games to go.
Okay.
He didn't even play a full season.
He was coming off rehab.
8-0.
Next, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are expecting a baby. Princess Eugenie got married on Friday. Sandberg and Mary Vanderbilt, let me go to some female perspective on this. Supposedly, the announcement of the baby was Friday when Eugenie got married. Isn't that stealing thunder?
Yeah. I completely missed it. Where was I?
Well, in the rankings, though, isn't... I mean, no offense to Princess Eugenie, but she's kind of like a sub-princess, isn't she?
Did anybody even know she was getting married?
Well, how about a little respect? How about a little respect for it's her day?
Well,
no?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, they have publicity people. They can coordinate.
It's an Meghan in that jacket, you could tell she's been hiding a bump, I believe.
Well, couldn't she have just said Friday? She drank a lot of booze?
Yeah.
She just bloated?
Ate pizza.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I liked Eugenie's dresses, though.
Did you?
I did.
I don't know. I didn't like the sleeves. They were too big on her. They just kind of, like, didn't lay right, you know?
I saw that, too.
I like that she had
spent a lot of weekend thinking about that
scar on her back. Though,
yeah,
that she
showed
that.
It.
That was cool. Yeah.
Okay, you've been listening to our royal update. We're gonna have Paul Coyne on this week.
So yeah, he said probably tomorrow. Demi Moore looked amazing. I don't know how she got the invite to that wedding.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
She looked amazing.
Doesn't she have kids with weird names like Eugenie?
Rumor, Tallulah.
I think
Scout.
It's a whole weird name kid thing.
She must be friends with Fergie.
Top 6 brought to you by American Weathermakers. You know the drill, and we're back after this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
6:25. Super Joe, the Donald Trump 60 Minutes interview still in the oven. We'll get to that about 7:40. For those of you who missed it, congratulations.
I missed it.
The frightening thing is that it's not surprising. The lack of intelligence, the lack of concern about not being intelligent, and the power. It's a bad combination. 3 weeks from tomorrow, Election Day. Please set Election Day aside, November 6th.
You know,
please
I read the transcript on the interview this morning, and I think it's interesting. When you take away the way he communicates and the way his body language is and the way a lot of people head scratch at just the way he looks and the way he sounds, it's a different person. And some of the words and some of the things, the way that he expresses himself, a lot of people be like, oh, what an idiot, or whatever they might say. But when you read the words, you don't get that same feeling.
No. You missed it, then.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you that, like, by reading the transcript.
No, but I'm telling you, but don't let him off on this, because NATO was formed to screw us on trade? No. NATO was formed to fight communist aggression in 1949 by a group of countries who were interested in the peace of the world. The fact that the president of the United States doesn't know that is inexcusable.
Regardless of the content, because you can get into the content of each answer.
You can get into the factual,
but the way that the answers play in transcript form, just on the words, as opposed to hearing him, you feel a much more coherent, much more articulate president than what you see when you hear him or you see him in live. I'm just saying that when I was reading it, I didn't yet get a review of his performance. I just read the transcript. Then I saw the review of the performance. I saw some video of it, and people are like, this is ridiculous. And you see the difference between the way he communicates and the way that the actual transcripts look.
So you'd like to just read the rest of the presidency?
I would like to read the presidency. That would be good by me.
Super Joe and I share an office, and so he cuts tape before the show. So I watched the interview last night. And then I had the pleasure of hearing him editing it for the show this morning, where he just kept playing over and over some of the part that you want. It was, it's been beaten into the ground in my head as far as I'm concerned.
Did you see it live?
I did see it live.
Yeah.
I also saw the thing on sex trafficking.
Deeply troubling.
Yeah. That show was pretty incredible.
Let me give you a couple of examples here. So much to pick from here. It's like a smorgasbord of bad. How about Leslie Stahl talking about Christine Blasey Ford, a speech a couple of weeks ago now? It's been 2 weeks already? I don't know.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Only 2 weeks. That's crazy.
2 weeks, and Trump does a speech mocking Christine Blasey Ford. Or did he? Listen.
Professor Blasey Ford got before the Senate and was asked, what's the worst moment? And she said, when the two boys laughed at me at my expense. And then I watched you mimic her, and thousands of people were laughing at her.
They can do what they... I will tell you this. The way now Justice Kavanaugh was treated has become a big factor in the midterms. Have you seen what's gone on with the polls?
But did you have to...
Well, I think she was treated with great respect. I'll be honest with you.
But do you think
there
you
are those
treated
that think
her
she
with,
shouldn't have been.
Do you think you treated her with great respect?
I think so, yeah. I did.
But you seem to be saying that she lied.
You know what? I'm not going to get into it because we won.
Yeah, see?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if a woman may have been raped. Doesn't matter if she may have been raped by her or attempted to be raped. Doesn't matter if she was sexually assaulted by Judge Kavanaugh or somebody else. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We won.
Yeah, there seems to be a desire for the American people to have a conversation about right versus wrong. And what we get instead is win versus lose.
Trump talking about Kim Jong-un. Remember when Trump said he loved Kim Jong-un? Come on. They're just words.
I do trust him. Yeah, I trust him. That doesn't mean I can't be proven wrong.
Why would you trust him?
Well, first of all, if I didn't trust him, I wouldn't say that to you. Wouldn't I be foolish to tell you right here on 60 Minutes?
I want to read you his resume. Okay. He presides over a cruel kingdom of repression, gulags, starvation, reports that he had his half-brother assassinated, slave labor, public executions. This is a guy you love.
I know all these things. I mean, I'm not a baby. I know all these things.
Why do you love that guy?
Look. I get along with him, okay?
But you said love him.
Okay, that's just like the figure of speech.
No, it's like an embrace.
Let it be an embrace. Let it be whatever it is to get the job done.
He's a bad guy.
Look, let it be whatever it is. I get along with him really well. I have a good energy with him. I have a good chemistry with him. Look at the horrible threats that were made. No more threats.
Well, I'd feel better. I don't know about you guys, but clearly he has the best words.
It's a great questioning by Leslie Stahl. I'll give her that. You don't hear that enough.
It's like talking to a 12-year-old. I mean, I didn't break the lamp. Somebody else broke the lamp.
But the human rights violations in North Korea always get swept under the rug, never gets talked about, especially with the president in presence. So great questioning.
They still have their nuclear weapons, too, so that's a threat.
Well, of course they're a threat.
Doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Well, it's that annual time, like Christmas morning, where Dr. Kevin Morse joins us, prepared to give us flu shots. Good morning, Doc.
How are you, Steve?
I'm all right. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. What's new in your world?
Yeah, I'm in the Northwestern studio here.
Had you not seen this studio?
No.
Oh, we should have had it first. A half hour from now, the sun comes up and the whole bit. Right now, it's just pitch black outside. But
you said you lost?
Yeah, I lost a good friend this weekend. So
I'm sorry. Somebody I know?
I think you probably met him at Butterfield. Rory Neal, probably one of the nicest people in the world. So my condolences.
We mentioned him on the Hawks game.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Pat mentioned it. Yeah.
Been sick?
Lung cancer. Very aggressive lung cancer. It took him in a very, very quick way. But my thoughts out to the entire Neal family.
God bless.
Yep.
It's an awful story.
Yeah.
You know, there's an amazing viciousness to lung cancer that I haven't been aware of until you brought it up to us a couple of years ago. That, A, it's very difficult to diagnose, and depending on your roll of the dice, once it is diagnosed, you could have weeks.
Yeah, he had less than that. So it's terrible. You know, the individuals that qualify for screening should really get that done. So, some CAT scans on the lungs, you can catch that early, is the only way that you can really do it. And it's a terrible, nasty disease.
Are we ever going to get to a point where insurance will pay for regular checks like that?
Well, if you qualify, insurance will pay for the screens right now. So it's pretty good. And so will Medicare. So you just have to fit the qualifications.
And what are the qualifications meaning?
That you stop smoking, that you're over the age of, I want to say, 60. So there's specific qualifications for the CAT scan.
Anything on secondhand smoke or too early for that?
Too early, yeah. But you know what? I mean, look at it. Think about when we were growing up. You used to go into a restaurant and say, can I sit in a no-smoking area?
Yeah, airplanes.
You think about bartenders and how much smoke they took in. So, you know, it's great that we made those changes, and we'll start to see an impact. But lung cancer is still, you know, the number one cancer as far as deaths.
Well, as you said, best of their family.
Yep.
What else can you say?
Yep.
Joe's mom, it was brought up in a disparaging way by Super Joe the other day in regards to flu shots. Give us a background on this, if you would, Sandberg.
So Joe's mom is a nurse.
Uh-huh.
And
a fine one, I'm sure.
She's an amazing nurse at a pediatrician's office.
A great nurse, yeah.
And she is a super sweet woman. And when we said we were getting flu shots, Joe did one of those when you try to feed a kid something they don't want to take a bite of, tightened up his lips and shook his head back and forth because he says he doesn't do shots. And then he blamed his mother.
On her technique.
On her technique.
What?
Applying a shot. So
yeah,
we brought her on.
We're very disappointed. Now, Doc, before we go to the nurse here, could you do anything in life without nurses?
No. I mean, how many times have I said it? You know, doctors write orders, nurses deliver care.
Right.
And thank you, Mrs. Romano, for doing that, especially in a pediatrician's office where
challenges are.
This is very challenging.
Yeah,
right?
You have terrified little kids that are coming in there. They don't want to be there, so the nurses there are most often the kindest and smartest nurses.
So let's start here, if you don't mind. Super Joe's mom, good morning.
Good morning.
First off, I think your son's great. I know you're not that fond of him today, but I think your son's great.
I think he's great, too, but he really threw me under the bus last week. He told all of Chicagoland that I have poor technique. That really made me sad.
Oh, whoa.
She can't argue with the emotion. She's
What's worse than hearing you made your mom sad?
I assure you, if she works in a pediatrician's office, she has great technique.
All right, so Super Joe, what do you want to say to your mother?
Mom, you are a fantastic nurse. You just, there's one thing you got to work on.
He's not giving up. All right, so what it is about her technique that you don't like?
Well, the shot would hurt afterwards, basically.
All right, Doc, you want to take that one?
That's the shots. Shot would hurt. Joe, you look smarter than that.
When the shot, you mean the shot hurts like any shot hurts, or it hurts worse?
I would say it hurts worse. You know, like, here, you didn't clean up your room, here's a shot.
Oh, like she was administering it because it's your kid is pain. Yeah.
Now, Mrs. Romano, I have to ask you, because my sister's a physical therapist, and I have accused her of this in the past. When she's angry with me, she does seem to hurt me more when she's doing work on me than... Because she can. So did you ever feel like, you know what, Joe, you need a little... Get snappy here in line. I'm going to do this a little harder than normal.
A little clean your room kind of injection?
I can't remember ever doing that.
No. Because you're a professional.
But I may have thought of it a few times, but no.
Are you thinking of it now?
Now I am. The hand injury threw me under the bus that way.
Now, has Joe gotten other shots from other people that didn't hurt after? Your mom the only person that's... We want
right,
to know
where it's a comparison. Right, is it a comparison? I can't believe he said that. I've had several patients this flu season say to me, well, wait, when am I going to get the shot? I said, I already did it.
That's how good
really,
she is.
I cannot believe
she's like the stealth injector. She doesn't know, one even sees it coming. So did you get shots from other people that you felt were less painful?
Not that I can remember.
Okay, well, maybe it's you then.
Yeah.
But Joe, is Joe like a little wussy kid when he had to go to the doctor?
I think maybe he was a little wimpy with shots.
Oh, well, there we go.
That might have been it.
Huge call out.
That might have been it.
Joe, you should have let me know. I would have brought you a flu mist because it's back on the market.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Good news for my son.
Yeah, good news for Ross.
That's right. Well, listen, Joe, here's another public opportunity to apologize for your mother for being a terrible person.
Yeah, that's not happening. No, in all seriousness, thank you for providing care, both in the doctor's office and growing up. Oh, and happy birthday on Wednesday. Happy early birthday.
Yeah.
That's quite a suck up.
You are forgiven.
And only because you're a mother. Otherwise, you'd hold a grudge forever.
Well, have a wonderful day, everyone.
All right, I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for all you do.
All right.
Thank you, Mom.
Take good care.
See you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
A great nurse. Now Super Joe's on the hit list for every nurse in town.
I was looking forward to defending you.
Mom,
I was excited.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm going to take Joe's side. Then right away, she hit us with the emotion. I'm sad.
Yeah.
She made me feel sad. I'm out.
Well, because Justin pointed out last week that Joe's in a different position. None of our moms were trying to give us shots.
Yes.
So maybe it's conflicting, you know, in your mindset as a kid.
That's
like,
sweet.
My mom loves me,
that's
but now
sweet.
She's
how you're trying to protect
me.
Him. Yeah. Yeah, that's
well, that's
cute.
Justin tried that,
no,
but you
I,
caved right
away. I
when
caved
you heard
right away.
Voice.
She came out swinging with the emotion. She felt Joe made her feel sad. I was like, oh, well,
you know what's
I'm out.
You know what's worse than your dad shaking his head and telling you he's disappointed in you? Your mom saying you hurt her feelings.
Yeah. And very publicly. You know, when every patient is coming in saying they hurt.
It's so weird. Weird too, because Super Joe was on such a good run here.
I know.
Good while it lasted.
All right, Doc. When we come back, we're going to get shots from you, but we also want to talk about the myths.
Absolutely.
The things that people believe. Like the shot makes me sick. It doesn't work. Things of that nature.
Right over here.
And we'll start with Carmen, who's apparently a skeptic. By the way, Joe's mom is in the lobby. She's got one for you as well. Back with Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. The flu shot is what? What is the actual, what's in the injection?
So this year we have, it's a quadrivalent. In other words, you're going to get vaccinated for four different strains of the flu, two type A and two type B. We've seen some early type B already, and we've seen some type A as well.
One worse than the other?
Yes, type A definitely worse than the other, especially last year with that H3N2. Mm. That was one that popped up in the late 60s and has continued to wreak havoc. And it's one that, you know, normally when you get influenza, it's all upper respiratory. It's, mm-hmm. You feel kind of miserable from here up. great for radio, huh? You're up.
Shoulders.
We got a little video going as well.
But the H3N2, unfortunately, can get to your lungs. And that's why we saw a lot of deaths last year. Immunocompromised people, seniors, and some young kids as
well. The statistic is amazing. If I told you 80,000 people died in America last year of fill in the blank, you'd freak out.
Yeah.
Go, flu. Yeah. Flu killed 80,000 people in this country last year.
More than motor vehicle accidents, more than drug overdoses. So, I mean, yeah, this is something serious. If you get it and you're healthy, you realize what an inconvenience it is for 10 days. But if you get it and you're sick at all, it's life-threatening.
I always worry about people when there is a big flu season, and there seems to always be a point to the medical community and the science essentially saying, how did you not catch this? And it comes up every time that it really is an educated guess. I mean, the researchers and the people putting together the flu shot, that is essentially they're guessing to see what's going to be dangerous this season.
Yeah, but I accused them of the same thing a couple of years ago, and you pointed out it's a pretty educated guess.
I mean, yeah, there's smart guys guessing.
Yeah.
But it is. We look at what happened last year. We look at what's going on in the Southern Hemisphere. We try to continue to get strains as much as we can to get a good guess. So last year, that H3N2, that really nasty one, is in the vaccine this year. So if it were to come back this winter, then at least we're going to have coverage for it. Because last year, the efficacy of this vaccine was not good.
Does it ever, when you say come back, does it ever go away?
Like, no.
This summer, could you have gotten it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's really interesting. You know, a lot of people think that there's a flu season, and certainly there is from November till about April, but you can get influenza any time throughout the year. This is just a vaccine that's kind of unique that can stay pretty hardy when it's really cold out.
Anybody had it really bad? I had it bad once, and I didn't have the shot. No? Nobody else?
I've had the flu, yeah. But I don't know if I've had it bad enough to feel like it's remarkable.
I just found out recently, I think since I've been talking to you in the last 3 years, that the flu, I always thought the flu was just when you were vomiting. I didn't know flu was that all those other times I probably had the
aches
flu,
and pains and fever and knocking you on your
butt.
Yeah, true influenza. You can be sitting here just like this and 5 minutes later have 103 temperature, body aches, and that can stay with you for about 10 days. You know, we talk, well, I'll wait and I'll get it, and if I do, then I'll go take the Tamiflu medicine. And we have to realize that Tamiflu is not like an antibiotic. All it does is shorten the duration. It doesn't kill the virus.
It's coldies. It's coldies for flu.
Yeah, it is.
What about taking zinc? My parents always swore on zinc.
You know, Mayor, zinc, a lot of people do think that zinc is great. It's not going to protect you from influenza, but there is some studies that have shown that it'll at least help a little bit with the common cold because we really don't get enough zinc in our diet. But I can tell you that, you know, Linus Pauling felt that vitamin C did the exact same thing. So, you know, it's really more what can you do to prevent it, and that's wash your hands, stay away from people, cough into your elbow, all those simple things.
Contagious...
Stay
looking
home.
At Sandberg. Stay home.
If she walks in here with the influenza, I would send her home or make her sit in there and bring Joe out.
Well, not no. Joe's mom wants Joe to stay in there.
Is there any point in our in the future where you see an eradication of the influenza?
Yeah, Justin, it's interesting. You know, what they're working on right now is something called a universal vaccine, so they wouldn't have to change it every year. If they can get down to the basic compound of what's in influenza, can we make a vaccine there that will treat all of them? And you'll get it once, maybe twice, depending if you need a booster. But to have a universal vaccine against the influenza virus, forget about whether it's type A, type B, H3N2,
right.
Singapore, Michigan. Just have the basics.
All right, we got to get going here so we don't run out of time. You want to poke me first?
Sure.
Oh, we didn't talk about myths. People say, I got the flu because I got the shot.
Yeah, impossible. The flu shot has dead virus in it, no live virus whatsoever. You'll get a little bit of aches and pains. You might even feel a little bit under the weather a little bit, but it's actually because your immune system is starting to kick in. So those are actually good signs.
Ray calling from Elgin, can diabetics get flu shots?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, diabetics, asthmatics, people with heart disease, those are the people that we want to get flu shots.
Who are the only ones on the no-fly zone?
You have to have a severe egg allergy, probably, and even those now we have cell-based vaccines, so you can get it.
And if you're needle phobic, the mist is back?
The mist is back this year for those between the ages of 2 and 49, but you have to be fairly healthy. You're going to start to see docs that are still a little hesitant with flu mist, I believe, and they're going to continue to try to push the vaccine as much as they can.
Just because they don't believe that it works on the same level?
Well, you know, it had a couple bad years there, but then again, so did the vaccine. So now the manufacturer has proven that it can work, and let's do it.
So is it true if you move your arm after you get a shot, it won't hurt as much?
Yeah, you know, the fluid all goes in, and we're talking about a very small amount of fluid that's going in there. But then if you're moving your arm around, you're going to move it around a little bit. So I tell people, get it in your non-dominant hand. Know that you're going to be a little bit sore, but go ahead and use the arm.
I'm ready when you are.
Okay.
I got my popcorn. I'm ready to watch it.
Now, do I have to fully disrobe?
Okay. I think you should, just for the the stream.
I saw he's wearing a short-sleeve golf windbreaker, just for the occasion of...
Yeah, almost forgot about it.
Oh, this is nice.
Now, Dr. Most doesn't normally do this. He's got people on his staff that do this. So
yeah, we're watching the technique, Doc.
He's got nurses like Joe Romano's mom.
That's right.
He never hurts every year.
So can I trust you to do this?
Yep.
Okay. But, I mean, we've been friends a long time. I don't know your money or anything, do I?
Why are you pointing at your pants?
How many times have I done this for you already?
Steve.
You hold that there.
We want to talk about...
I'm going to go full Fonzie.
This is fully uncomfortable.
We've got quite a tan line here from our golfing host.
Yeah, you look good, buddy.
It's good alcohol swabbing.
Have you been tasseling corn? You look good.
I have, actually, yeah.
That's a real needle.
Why do some people have to get shots on their rear end?
Ow.
What, the shots in the butt?
Yeah, why do some people have to get shots?
I think it's only done by request.
Okay.
I can remember getting those as a kid. I think those are like...
Yes, I'd like to request a butt shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, he seems to still be alive.
It just feels like when I was a kid, that's all I ever got was the shots in the butt.
Huh? Probably
because you didn't have enough fat in your arm. Okay. I think that's why they put it in the butt.
You want to go around the horn?
I'm answering for the doctor. I don't really know.
All right, let's go around the horn. Sandberg, you're next.
Woohoo! I'm coming in.
I enjoy getting shots.
I'm
not. It's one of her little quirks.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
you have to use my left arm, though, so it's on the other side. Sorry about that. Now, it's too bad that Andrea isn't here this morning, because we know how much she loved getting the shots.
Yeah, a few years ago when we started doing this,
she went to Scotland.
The first year she said she couldn't have it because she was traveling. Mm-hmm. And what was her excuse the next year, Doc? I forgot.
I don't know. We finally got her to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Because she was a little needle phobic, but she admitted after she had it that she was glad she did.
And I'll probably actually come down and...
You're going to come down to the Patty and Andrea show and get them, too?
There we go. Ow! There it is.
Now Justin's taking off his shirt, too.
I was going to say, it's getting very not safe for work in here for the stream. A lot of white undershirts.
I was going to say, can I buy you guys not tidy whitey shirts here?
There's a lot.
What sort of 50s gang are you two in?
It's what you wear.
This is what the millennials are wearing.
Mm.
That is a thick needle, I will say.
You look like the guy from the commercial where the date goes, you look comfortable.
It's an undershirt. That's the idea, right? I got a collared shirt on.
Doc, I don't want to rush you because we're fine on time, but if you could do this quickly, then I wouldn't have to look at Carmen and Justin in white t-shirts.
In white v-neck. We're going to have to do a photo.
What else do you wear? I don't even know.
You don't have any t-shirts in color?
What are you talking about?
You're supposed to wear white under. You're supposed to wear white under, but it's just weird that you both have.
Don't look at me like I'm the weird one, Fonzie.
Who doesn't wear a white v-neck?
But if we have collared shirts on for work, this is taking them off.
That's your undershirt. I just think it's weird that you're both the same.
Appropriate undershirt.
Yeah, okay.
I think Mark might have slept in his. Looks a little...
Doc is not giving
true.
Mark Carmen the shot as well.
These are the same undershirts Justin Timberlake wears.
I'm going to look at Mary.
Yeah, exactly. They are.
Oh, God, it's really happening. Okay.
Now, this would be a good time to remind people to always wear clean underwear and undershirts.
Yes.
Thanks, Steve.
Carmen, you got Fruit of the Loom to match those shirts? Or?
Probably, yes. Solid brand.
Minute before 7. Doc will continue poking the staff as we come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Dr. Mouse, didn't you go to high school with Mary Vandevelde?
We went to the same high school. Yes, we did. Woolabrook Warriors.
And at any point, did you think, someday, I'm going to give her a shot? No. Can't answer that because your attorney said don't answer that? It's time for Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And again, we want to thank Dr. Kevin Most as he continues to poke the staff. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Get your flu shot. Any last words, Doc, other than get your flu shot?
No, seriously, though, get your flu shot. This is a year not to mess around. You know,
don't be a statistic.
Correct.
Yeah, and don't be dumb. Oh, sorry. That was mine, not yours. Get your flu shot for the sake of not just you, for your family and everybody. And thank you, Dr. Most, very much. And thanks to everybody at Northwestern Medicine.
You're more than welcome.
Thanks, Doc.
Oh. All right. Doc's got a line of about 75 people. I don't think half of them work here. All lined up. And none of them in white T-shirts. Apparently, it's just you and Carm.
Carm and I are now redressed. We have collared shirts on.
I can't get that image out of my head.
A texter pointed out that they have engineers at their office that didn't have to take their shirts off for the flu shot. So I think Carm and Justin just wanted to take their shirts off.
Yeah, I wanted to show off this vivacious body.
Me too.
Yeah.
Right here.
Good luck to both of you.
The snap. The kick for the win. It's good. Dolphins win it in overtime. And Kenyon Drake says hallelujah.
An animal.
Dan Hamm anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Well, I mean, what do you say? Overtime in Miami. Looks like it's over. Looks like it's going our way. Then it's over. Aye, aye, aye. Hamp's head explodes. Good morning, Hamp.
I think you surmised the situation accurately. And that could be the next song we write, OT in Miami.
Yes. Frickin' you know, Dolphins.
You know, and let me just tell you, that missed kick, that's a $15 million investment in this guy that, you know, it's virtually useless. We ask him to do one thing. Come out, kick a 53-yarder. Can't do it. Well,
And by the way, this doesn't help your overall love for kickers.
No. In fact, it only frustrates me. And you know, there's so many things about this game, and I know Mark is there, and he's probably told you. You know, we were full of angst, and there's a lot of reasons. You know, and a lot of times with great expectations comes great responsibility, and for our offense, especially Mitchell Trubisky, to come off the performance 2 weeks prior and go out there and stumble and fumble around in the first half and just look just totally inept. It's almost inexcusable. Now, in your third starter, your fifth starter, ninth, well, I mean, enough already. If this kid wants to be regarded as a legitimate NFL quarterback, he can't have halves like that. But come on, let's be realistic. This greatest defense since, you know, they began to slice bread was shredded. And at some point, you got to start pointing the finger at some of the coaches. And I know at 3-2 that, you know, this whole thing isn't over, but I watched New England really close last night. And I got to tell you, you know, we have a tendency to overinflate our teams here in Chicago's, you know, ability. Well, yesterday, not being able to beat a backup quarterback in a situation where they were playing without five of their starters, I mean, this does not bode well for the Bears if they want to really be taken legitimately.
Talking to Hamm, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. How scared were you, Carms, as the overtime went on, for your own physical health?
Well, I believe we can check the tape. OB actually did threaten to throw me out the window and asked if the windows did open. So that was a slightly terrifying moment. I think Hamm could confirm that. You know what was funny yesterday watching the game? I don't know.
Nothing? Nothing was funny?
Well, little Dan to the truck for a hammer in case we couldn't get the window
off. That was true, too. Well, but Hamp was watching the game yesterday, and, you know, they, of course, show the highlight from 85 with the Dolphins beating the Bears. And I didn't realize it, Hamp, before yesterday that you said, right, watch this ball go off my head as I forget who was it, whoever caught
Nat Moore
caught it and ran into the end zone. So that was, is that, like, still brutal to watch for you right now, Hampo, like 30 years later, whatever it is?
Yeah, it really is. You know, and I was thinking about that this morning when I woke up. I said, you know, for us to kind of, you know, denigrate the team for, you know, losing a very winnable game in Miami, would it be a little hypocritical? Well, the last time I checked, I don't think Osweiler will be going to the Hall of Fame. I don't think, you know, Adam Gates is going to the Hall of Fame like Shula. I didn't think they had all these Pro Bowlers everywhere like the Dolphins. But it was a really tough night. And I understand that a lot of times, you know, things happen on the road. But this was not a game where all of that should have happened. We allowed it to happen. And, you know, at some point, we have to have our leaders. And that goes right up to the head coach. You know, we made a big deal in the second part of in the post game about his inability to assert himself and be aggressive in three very key portions of the game. And a lot of that rubs off. You know, as a team, you know, vibes, you know, everybody talks about momentum. Well, it's almost like a vibe. If the coach is kind of hunkering down and not willing to take a risk and be aggressive and, you know, be Spartacus, well, yeah. It's not long before the team follows suit. So there was a lot of things that happened yesterday that they have to be corrected. Damn. And we don't have a lot of time, as you know. A guy named Brady showing up in six days.
Okay, so there much can be made about the offensive struggles and the coaching and the calls and overtime, the runs to set up a 53-yarder and a missed kick. The one thing I want to ask you about is that the Bears, for the second time in their second loss, fell victim to huge plays late in the game. The defensive breakdown on the Albert Wilson screen pass or whatever it was to give up an 80-yard pass in 2 seconds. What's happening in that situation for the Bears? That's the second time that happened. It happened in Green Bay as well towards the end of that game. Why are we giving up such big plays on the defensive side of the ball late in games?
That's a wonderful question. And, you know, I'll be going back to watch the film today. But in a nutshell, what happens is when you become fatigued, you lose your aggressiveness and you lose your ability to tackle. And that, you know, my little Dan is playing defensive line and he's still got a lot to learn. But defense is offensive. If you're an offensive tackle, if your guy just falls down, you don't have to do anything. You can watch it. But on defense, you not only have to defeat a block, but now you got to run to the ball carrier. And when you get there, now you got to gather yourself and get ready. And then you got to, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And when you're tired, all of your fundamentals go out the window. And we saw yesterday Eddie Jackson, who's been playing terrific football, Adrian Amos, who has been very good this year. They basically disappeared because the combination of fatigue and just it was almost chaos. That 4 yard drag across the middle that turned into a 75 yard scoring play right at the end of the half. You know what? Buddy Ryan's head would have blown up on the sideline if we would have ever allowed that.
He would have blown all you guys up. Dr. Most.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Most is here. So, Dr. Kevin Most, do you have a question for the great Dan Hampton?
Yeah, dude, Hamp, I was wondering if we could do a little study with you guys and take yours and OB's blood pressure various parts of the game, and then especially after the game, just to see...
just to chart it for the AMA?
Yes.
Absolutely. And you know what? And you need to take causes when they bring the food. It's
right.
A very similar kind of thing.
Sandberg, you predicted a tie, and you almost got it right.
I know. What is this, the sixth week? Every week I've chosen a tie, and I
almost got it.
And as Justin said, nothing is more depressing than when we were facing either a tie or losing by a field goal. Like neither were good options.
They're all bad.
Dan, I don't know if Steve said this already to you, but he did not even see the overtime because he went to the movies.
Well, you know, in retrospect, I'd say I made the right choice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, you can't kill the spectators for what happened on the field. I'll tell you this.
Wait, are you threatening
to
kill me?
I saw those play calls down the stretch setting up the field goal. I couldn't wait to get out.
Here's the thing. They're still in first place by percentage points. Carms, is that right?
Well, they got two ties, right? The Packers and the tonight. Vikings have a tie. So
you don't have to even get down to the nitty gritty here, Steve. They're a first place team, but yes, we're dealing with a tie that does put them there.
And 75-year-old Tom Brady, as pointed out by Hamp, makes a game into it last night, takes it to overtime, and I believe had his 48th game winning drive.
That's amazing.
In the fourth quarter or overtime. That's a pretty good career.
Well, and again, we are in for a treat. You know, this is I don't think it's his, the final tour of the Grateful Dead as he goes around. But I'm just telling you, to be able to watch us, be able to, you know, play with the greatest player that's ever played. He's won 5 Super Bowls and played in what, 9? It's just incredible. But just because he's 41 doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. Remember yesterday, 60-year-old Frank Gore ran for over 100 yards against our vaunted defense. So it's almost like the fountain of youth is spreading across the league.
Yeah, Frank Gore now 4th on the all-time rushing list. And how about you, Hamp? You could barely notice his walker. Sponsored by Chevy.
Again, let me tell you this real quick. You know, Mitchell Trubisky has certain assets that we all are thinking, okay, he's going to be the answer. And, well, after the first half performance yesterday, throwing the pick in the end zone, I mean, you just can't do that. Jordan Howard, after 2 weeks of pouting, had a chance to basically, you know, reinvent himself, and he fumbles at the goal line. Then Tariq Cohen, who, you know, everybody's saying, oh, is the best weapon we have, fumbles at the 20 going. And, I mean, so many things went bad yesterday. This team obviously has to eat a little bit of humble pie. I think they got a little full of themselves, and they thought, you know, they just had to go down there and roll their helmet onto the field, and, you know, the Dolphins were going to run and hide. But I got to tell you, Adam Gase did a hell of a job yesterday. He outcoached Matt Nagy and Vic Fangio on the same afternoon with the backup quarterback. And you know what? If they're smart, they won't forget it. You got to remember, you got to play each and every week.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Thank you, Evan. Thank you for not killing Carnes. We like him.
Go Bears! Here we go.
There you go.
I'm not sure if this ever happens to you guys, but yesterday when we played coaches that were just on our team or players that were just on their team, sometimes I forget that their Pat was like, oh, Adam Gase just did a great whatever. And I was like, oh, that's great. And I'm like, wait, he's on the wrong team now.
Right,
like, I get excited, and then it's the wrong person.
It was so fun to watch that offense because we had to play that offense. We were that offense for so many years.
Right.
And to watch them throw bubble screens and little third down, little hitches and all the things. And you're like, and the worst part was it was successful. Brock Osweiler was successful. And I'm like, that's not how it's supposed to be. They're supposed to be bad at it. We were bad at it.
From one great athlete to another, that's your hint for the most valuable person on the planet coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Today's most valuable person on the planet for Monday, October 15th, is Justin Kaufman.
Come on.
Justin Kaufman, the legend of 16-inch softball.
Wow.
That's right.
It was a very emotional weekend. We took the team.
But let me say something. You mock this.
I don't mock it.
Yes, you do. You're mocking this. I think it's cool. I do.
Thank you.
I think it's cool.
That means a lot.
I really do. I think it's cool.
You've been the mocker of the last couple.
Oh, I'm mocking the 16-inch softball.
But I appreciate it.
But I think it's cool. That's an achievement. You ought to be proud of it.
We won our championship in the Media League, and we took an invite from George and the 16-inch
Softball
Hall of Fame. And we went out this weekend. We all dressed up in suits like we were visiting the White House. And we got a tour of the awesome facility in Forest Park and took a bunch of awesome pictures and got to go out afterwards. I did not go because I was with Miles, but they went to the bar around the corner. And Frank Lentine, who is 77 years old, 12-time champion, inductee to the Hall of Fame, he held court at the dive bar. Drinking and teaching the team.
Give me a reference. Is he the Ted Williams of 16-inch softball? Is he the
he's going to be
the Hank Aaron?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe an Aparicio.
Now, is this something he did just for your special day, or is he there every Saturday?
I don't know.
At that bar,
I'm not sure if he was there for us, and we took pictures with him. And he also, there's some unbelievable moments where he's teaching us how to, like, we'd bring up something very 16-inch softball. We're like, how do you do that step in? Hit, you know, to right field, and he would show us. He'd go 1, 2, 3, left, right, swing. It's all about timing. And they brought out all these bats, this old memorabilia. It was a tremendous moment if you're into the sport. And I got to say, like, I had just a great time. And I brought Miles with. And we had
Miles looked great, too.
I can't thank George enough.
Great, yeah.
The 16-inch softball Hall of Fame at Forest Park. And they invited us. We're going to work it out. To do maybe the playoffs of the Media League on their courts at Forest Park, or not their diamonds.
Their field, yeah.
But the which is an amazing, amazing experience. And if you've seen anything there, the No Gloves Championships are there, all the softball championships
the
are there.
The MVPP.
Do you have a nickname?
I don't. They just, I need one, right?
What do they call you?
Yeah, you definitely need one.
Clutch.
They should call me Clutch.
Clutch Kaufman. Yeah.
You are pants or shorts? These are the key questions.
I go with shorts.
Uh-huh.
But he wears like knee-high socks.
Yeah, I've got the red socks, but I learned a valuable lesson after my first dive that I skinned both knees.
Uh-huh.
This was in the playoffs, and that stayed with me. I did it twice.
You know, if Super Joe's mom was there, she would have tended to your wounds.
That's true.
She remember all week long, then he every time he sat down, he complained about the scabs reopening on his legs.
It was a difficult... but we won the championship, and if you missed the story...
It's online.
It's online, but I was able to hit a double... Down two, we're down one, bottom of the seventh. This is it. The Onion, we're playing the Onion in the Media League Championship. And I came up with two outs and a runner on second, and I doubled to bring the runner home and then scored on a single on second base. And the best part, Steve, ready for this? So I'm telling all these people about it. What a great experience. This is so great. And Miles goes, Dad, did you tell him how you ran over that lady at home plate to win the game?
Oh, my God.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, I didn't run her over. We had like a little... collision because she was blocking the plate and she wasn't, you know, there was no play at the plate, but she was still like blocking it. And I was coming around pretty fast, and there was like an actual like.
I think it was Ozzie Smith when he hit the home run in the 80s. Kurt Gibson limping out of the dugout. It was one of those I can't believe what I just saw moments.
The Hall of Fame guys are like, "What? What happened?" And I'm like, "Nah, that's not accurate." She
Clutch Kaufman ran over a lady.
I ran over a lady to get into the Hall of Fame, but they put my picture up. In the lobby, right when we walked in, and it's pretty awesome to be with all the Roycos and the Bob Surratts and all the players that have played in this league and played since softball in Chicago since the 30s. To have my picture up there was pretty special. I'm choking up.
As the music builds, the most valuable person on the planet.
I'm choking up.
As you should. That's Clutch Kaufman. All right, we'll play you some sound from that 60 Minutes nonsense last night.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here. Lots going on. We're covering this morning, of course, yesterday, Donald Trump on 60 Minutes. Big story. We got clips to play this morning. Also coming up, Governor Rauner is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Talk about the election coming up here in November. Also, Hillary Clinton was in the news talking about
CBS Sunday Morning.
CBS Sunday Morning interview where she was asked about whether or not her husband's affair with Monica Lewinsky was an abuse of power, fitting in with the Me Too movement.
Sure.
And interesting that she came back and said it wasn't because they were both adults, and she discounted the.
And then she switched quickly to Trump. So.
But it was interesting line of. I mean, I get the line of questioning, but it seems like it's just something that Hillary Clinton has to deal with, and it wasn't even her affair.
I know she
it's
is
like over and over and over.
And it's so over. We're so over it. Aren't
I know it's very strange that it's back, but I guess if you're talking
now's
about
the time,
context.
Yeah.
Whether or not you put into the category of his extramarital affair in the White House as an abuse of power to connect it to some of the stories we're seeing from Hollywood and Harvey Weinstein down the line.
And everyone, obviously, I'm sure maybe if she was asked today about her answer, that she would maybe rephrase that because an intern at the White House and the President of the United States is an exact example of
power. Yeah, he's a CEO, right.
That's the same thing, but, you know, she's... I don't know why she keeps being asked about...
Again, yeah.
Well, let's rewind back for just one second on the Trump thing. What was his motivation for doing the interview? Like, how did he...
Because he had a big 60 Minutes interview at the beginning of his presidency, I believe, and then he's... Because that's why he's, like, back on 60 Minutes. Can you believe it? So I wonder if it's just he's on... the tour and he's doing interviews and things of that nature because it's election and midterms. And I think it's mostly because of the midterms coming up. He wants to get in front and talk about all the
winning
things
and losing, you know, the winning. That's
the winning.
Yeah. He wants
he's on the winning tour. Right. so, but that was, of course, the big story. We're also watching the, this week on WGN, the Harvard trial, the trial about whether or not race is a factor or should be a factor in admissions at Harvard University. And, Carm, probably the smallest thing, the Bulls season starts.
So many people are just talking about this. It's incredible.
I'm surprised.
The Bulls' parents aren't even talking about this.
The lovable parents. No, yeah.
Who's even on the team?
Great. Bunch of tall guys.
Great players, Mary. You never heard of Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen, who's hurt.
When is the season tip?
That'd be Thursday night at Philly.
You know, you're talking about the Bulls, and they play at the United Center, and the Blackhawks play at the United Center, and that Duncan Keith tribute on Saturday night was the most amazing tribute I've ever seen. I'm biased because Duncan Keith is my favorite player.
Oh, did not know that.
He also went to Michigan State, which is where my husband went, so I guess I like Spartans.
Did you enjoy your souvenir teeth? You know, the Hawks gave out 7 teeth to everybody that got there early.
They did the video they did of him, it was incredible, and his son Colton was on the ice, and they always do all those things amazingly. This was the best one yet.
I like Dunks a lot, obviously, but I wouldn't want to make him mad. I mean, he's not that physically big when you see him, but he could kill me with his bare hands.
He could. There was a picture circulating.
Very strong dude.
I'm scared of Duncan Keith.
The day he signed and how he was like this littlest, scrawniest, you know, stringy-haired kid, and now he's just a bigger.
Think about the miles on his legs, and he's still going.
I like the graphic. They have the D1K.
Yeah.
And
oh,
DK,
it was so cool. They had the giant letters. Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do with that after. That D1K that was on the ice, the big one.
It's going to be in his garage.
Does he bring it home? Right. Do you,
in the back of the garage.
Back of the house.
Yeah. Guys, can I just add one other thing?
Yeah.
You guys may have heard me go, oh, my God, at 7:30,
mm-hmm.
Right before the news. Mm-hmm. I just received a photograph from the Quad Cities where there's actually snow on cars this morning. So,
well, that's not right.
We had that. That's why
we have people checking our sources
now,
on that.
Would that be the same system that hit Colorado coming this way? So the question I have is, that means snow is coming to Chicago?
No, it's not going to come this way. Okay. But
seems like that's the pattern, right?
Enough, not in the last.
West to
enough
east.
To use the snow thing to remove it from
even
windows.
Though Tim McGill used the word blustery for today. And every time I hear that word, I think snow.
You know, I was laughing at myself, though, the other day, because every year at this time, what happens? It gets colder and eventually it snows.
I know.
And yet we're always surprised.
This week is going to be in the 50s and 60s. We're like, oh, this is cold. It's mid-October.
Like we're being screwed.
I was going to say, you might need to up the oh my God level here, Steve.
Oh, snow. I was ready with my camera this morning to film some snow because it felt so cold.
It's not right. That's a little early.
I actually Googled, this is so bad, but it's early when we get up. I was like, this is so cold. We must be getting an extra hour this weekend. When is that daylight savings? And so I Googled it. It's not till November 4th.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like
year.
It should be this weekend.
Should get a couple weeks. That's great, too, when it gets dark at 3 in the afternoon. That's a lot of fun. Hey, we'll come back, get some sound from 60 Minutes. Before we do that and go back to Steve here in just a second, Carms, can you tell me just, I don't even know how you'd sum this up, but you're in the room with Hamp, OB, and Kaz in the best Bears coverage, period. It's not close. Nobody does what we do here.
God bless you, Steve.
And Carms is not just the food getter. He's the guy that anchors the show. So as overtime went on, what was the reaction when Miami fumbles at the one and they've got it won in overtime? What was the reaction then?
Disbelief and jubilation, I would say.
Did they jump at this age?
You know, the time that they actually jumped was when the Bears scored a touchdown, 29-yarder to Anthony Miller. OB went to the bathroom, and then he came back, and Miami had already scored one play, 75-yard drive. And he walked back in, he looked at the screen, and then he squinted at the screen, and then he looked at Hamp, and then it was just an explosion of utter sadness and disbelief.
So when a kid misses the field goal, what was the reaction?
I think Hamp said, I hate kickers,
about
17 times in a row with some...
I hate kickers, I hate kickers, I hate kickers. And then Miami goes back down the other way and wins. Silence? Anger?
Silence. It was a dead silence.
And are you more frightened when they're silent or when they're loud?
I'm most probably silence, and when I ever choose to actually step in every now and then and sort of challenge something that's being said, that's when I got...
You've had plenty of moments in the past three years of hosting.
Yeah.
You ever thought about just sneaking out, just heading for your car?
You know what?
For your own personal safety?
It's actually the best part of the show, Steve, is on the last segment. Hamp and OB tend to, just get ready to leave at that point. And then I, as they're walking out and I'm speaking like the last couple words of the show, I just know that I made it safely through one more week.
Right, right. Got to be a morning after.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Justin when Miami's kicker was getting ready to go out and kick that kick, because last week he was talking about if people were a cocky kicker or not a cocky kicker.
Right.
And he was like fist bumping with guys on the sideline before his kick. Yeah, like, he's a laid kicker. Back, like, I got this.
Right.
And so, and then he won the game.
Our guy just had that deer in the headlights look.
He looked
like,
scared to death. Little Parky. Little Cody Parky.
Little Parky.
OB was killing Matt Nagy yesterday, the Bears head coach, and I just made the point that this is what you signed up for. It's a first-year head coach. He's not going to be perfect. He's never been a head coach, and maybe he will, maybe he won't. Like they are, and he didn't like that very much.
We'll come back with Hawks tickets, a happier sports story. Hawks tickets in just a moment, and also some sound from the Trump interview on 60 Minutes last night. We all watched it, so you don't have to, in a moment.
Hawk a riddle, yeah, come on. Your Blackhawk ticket.
John DeCoste, the only person in America that still writes riddles. And he does a fine job, by the way. He may come in this week, did I tell you that?
He told me, Friday.
Yeah,
right. That's great.
So,
he's got the new knee, will be the new knee is two weeks old today.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to his knee.
Yep.
He's got two new knees now, and he's early in recovery in the second one, but he wants to come in. So we'll see. I have tickets for Thursday, October 18th. The Arizona Coyotes will be in town. I'll get to the Hawker riddle in just a second. But from 60 Minutes last night first, let's just run through a few of these clips. This is the President of the United States in his own word, Donald Trump, talking about possible punishment for Saudi Arabia in the aftermath of the journalist Khashoggi's disappearance. For those of you who've missed the story here, Khashoggi, a anti-Saudi government local who goes into the Saudi embassy in Turkey, his fiance waits outside. He never comes back out. The Turkish government says they have audio and video proof that he was tortured and murdered by a Saudi hit squad. They are denying it. Trump talking about possible punishment. Listen.
They are ordering military equipment. Everybody in the world wanted that order. Russia wanted it. China wanted it. We wanted it. We got it, and we got all of it, every bit of it.
So would you cut that off?
I tell you what I don't want to do. Boeing, Lockheed, Raytheon, all these I don't want to hurt jobs. I don't want to lose an order like that. And you know, there are other ways of punishing, to use a word that's a pretty harsh word, but it's true.
Tell everybody what's at stake here. You know, this
Well, there's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake, and maybe especially so because this man was a reporter. There's something, you'll be surprised to hear me say that, there's something really terrible and disgusting about that if that were the case. So we're going to have to see. We're going to get to the bottom of it, and there will be severe punishment.
The Washington Post reporter specifically, that's the reason we have this great interest in it. I hope the president is speaking the truth in regards to his newfound love for the media.
Well, he tweeted out this morning, just 20 minutes ago, just spoke to the king of Saudi Arabia, who denies any knowledge of whatever may have happened, quote, to our Saudi Arabian citizen, end quote. He said that they are working closely with Turkey to find answer. I'm immediately sending our Secretary of State to meet with King! Exclamation point. I don't understand the quote.
He's trying to establish that he wasn't an American citizen.
Yeah.
Give him some space.
It seems to be, like, it's not as important.
Exactly.
It's not an
American. Yeah, and by the way, as a great negotiator, if I'm negotiating with you, and I'm a great negotiator, do I tell you how much I have to have this deal before the deal's done?
Yeah, it
doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. One more. Donald Trump responding to claims that the White House is in chaos again. Leslie Stahl, 60 Minutes last night.
It's so false. It's fake news. Now, out of hundreds and hundreds of people, some I could have not picked, I'm changing things around, and I'm entitled to. I have people now on standby that will be phenomenal. They'll come into the administration. They'll be phenomenal.
More people going to go?
Yeah, other people will go, sure.
Because so many people. You have a kind of a record of turnover.
I told you the story.
More.
I told you the story. We have I think I have a great cabinet. There are some people that I'm not happy with. I have some people that I'm not thrilled with, and I have other people that I'm beyond thrilled with.
He's not wrong about turnover. He has had more than most, however. And again, the greater problem here is he never admits fault, ever. ever. Here's your Hawker riddle. These are all for tickets for Thursday night, October 18th, against the Arizona Coyotes. First correct answer, 312-981-7200. And remember, it could be about anything. It's not hockey-related specifically. The money from Rockefeller, the land by field, and more Nobel Prize than any other would yield. Football went stag with atomic split pride to find its location, play seek, and go hide. Very, very nice. The very nice was my part. It was a compliment.
Can you read it again, please? Right.
The money from Rockefeller.
Okay.
The land by field. And more Nobel Prize than any other would yield. Football went stag.
Yeah.
With atomic split pride to find its location, play seek, and go hide.
Yeah, no chance.
I got it. It is... Oh wait, I can't give it away.
Doesn't that remind you of Andrea? Andrea used to always say at the Hawk riddle, she'd go, I got it. No, I don't have it.
I think she would say she had it just to get in Dave's head, because then Dave would think that he should know it. And then she would say she didn't, but she already baited Dave into thinking
it's like
he should know
Aunt
it.
Like my Aunt Diane when we played Trivial Pursuit. I know that one.
No, you don't. Yeah, right. You stop it, Aunt Diane.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Got a winner here, I do believe. Stacy from New Lenox. Stacy, let me read this one more time for people. The money from Rockefeller, the land by field, the more Nobel Prize, and more Nobel Prize than any other would yield. Football went stag with atomic split pride to find its location, play seek, and go hide. Your clues are Rockefeller, field, Nobel Prize, stag, atomics, and hide spelled H-Y-D-E. What's the answer?
It's the University of Chicago.
You've won! Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thursday night, October 18th, Arizona Coyotes. Did you graduate from there?
I did not, no. I did an externship there, but I did not graduate from there.
Very nice. Where'd you go to school?
St. Xavier, and then I did my master's at Western Michigan.
Oh, there you go. Very nice. And what do you do now?
I'm an audiologist.
Ah, very important. Very important. Have you seen A Star Is Born?
I have not yet. No, no.
There's an audiology part of it.
It's on my list.
Yeah, there's a part of it that involves audiology.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all over our Facebook pages about the audiology part of it. So, yeah, I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, definitely. Congrats. You're a winner. Who are you going to take to the game?
Thanks. Probably my husband, but it depends on who's nicest to me that day.
Good call by you.
I like that she's leaving it open.
Make him earn it.
Spouse isn't guaranteed.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's see if he earns it. All right. Thank you for listening very much. And there you go. John DeCoste with another winning Hawker riddle.
Those Four Seasons heating and air conditioning people are very nice to give away their Four Seasons tickets.
Yes, they are. For all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And at 4:40 this afternoon, Roe and Anna give away a pair as well.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, honey, or kiss me good.
It's Moron Entertainment. Good morning, Moron. I mean, good morning, Dean.
Good morning to you, moron.
More, M-O-R-E, on.
That's
we don't want,
what I meant.
We don't want to... hey, I saw A Star Is Born.
And?
Maybe the greatest cast collection of performances in a movie that I've seen in I don't know how long.
Wow. That's high praise.
And I wasn't crazy about the story. There was a couple of spots, but the music is phenomenal. Lady Gaga is so good as her first starring role. It's ridiculous.
Bradley Cooper's first time directing.
Yeah, and how good
I
is
think
he?
Does an amazing job.
How good is he?
And his acting and his singing. You didn't like the story, like what happens to the characters, you mean?
Yeah, the ending I thought was handled okay because, you know, the other movies ended in sort of a similar way.
Similar, yeah.
But, yeah, I just thought there were some holes in the story that were a little confusing. But every time I felt like there was a hole in the story, Lady Gaga could sing again, and I was happy.
I'm telling you, it's I was in New York over the weekend, saw a couple of new movies here over the weekend when I got back. seeing more of the films that are going to be considered the Oscar movies of the year. And they're good. The ones that I've seen are good, but still nothing as powerful as A Star Is Born yet.
How did you feel about the length
of A Star Is Born?
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. It's a little long. It's 2 hours and some change, if you look at it on paper. But I never once did I feel like I want to get out of here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't feel
that movie.
How many bathroom breaks is that for you? That's just one.
Oh, yeah, that's one. That's just one. Yeah, yeah. Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. I was quite proud of myself.
I'm impressed, because that's a long time. I mean, that's a long time to sit there, and you're usually drinking and eating, you know, so.
Yeah, no, did I eat? I guess I may have had some. Oh, I had a couple of pretzel nibs. But I did have a giant bottle of water. So, you know, yeah. By the way, plumbing features on this show, rarely done. But anyway, I give it, I don't know what my scoring system is. Thumbs and popcorn barrels and everything else. Go see it.
Pick out an orifice, Steve, and tell us how many there'll be.
Probably not going to do that.
How many digits you
not going there.
You got for us.
All right, let me tell you what else is coming up, Dean, because you're the one that's going to tell us about it. Did Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson have a really bad weekend?
Oh, boy.
Is Michael Bublé quitting music?
Oh.
Is the Lyric Opera strike over? Is Viola Davis going to talk on this show? And is there a breast cancer special on TV tonight? These are the questions you have to answer on Moron Entertainment.
As it turns out, I know the answer to all of those questions.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
Be calling his name, Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
We continue now with more on entertainment. Dean's live at Channel 9, as always. Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson. Well, first off, Saturday Night Live. I don't know. Listen, not good. Not good.
Didn't see it this week.
Cold Open was a redo on the Kanye Trump thing.
Right.
There's some laughs there. But I thought with Seth Meyers coming back, I thought they'd kill it.
Well, Seth is an old friend from Chicago, and so I'm biased. But I will say this about Seth.
Did you watch the show?
I did watch it.
What made you laugh?
What made me? There were some things that made me laugh. The Frank Thomas ripoff muscle enhancer thing. Where Seth Meyers turns from a middle aged man to a douchebag. I thought that was really funny. But the problem I had with it was that Seth was Seth in almost everything, meaning he was always the straight guy who would question the premise of the sketch. Like, what, crazy person? You're crazy. And that I feel like he's way more talented than that. I would have liked to have seen him do more characters.
Your wife and son were not excited to hear he was hosting. I remember you telling us that.
And I don't get that. I
think he's very fun.
Argument, because I was like, I think he's great. And again, I'm biased because we're friends, but I just think that he's tremendous, and he would have done tremendous work, and he did. The really segment on the Weekend Update about Kanye was great. I don't know. I get it. I don't know how you do that.
You know, he's
never really been a sketch performer anyway. His worst days at SNL is when he was doing sketches. It wasn't that he got his stride till he went to the Weekend Update.
Yeah, right.
So they should have used him less. You know, the thing is, Dean, I've been in that writer's room, and I've always felt this way. They need less writers. There's too many cooks in the kitchen.
There are, you know, we should look into
15 writers. They ought to have five.
They have a couple of Chicago writers they hired from. Remember when Lorne Michaels came to Chicago and he did the stuff at the museum? Mm-hmm. That night he went to see I.O. in Second City, and he hired a couple of writers for the show, and they have contributed mightily. The Adam Driver sketch where he's the oil baron and he stomps on the bird in the first episode, which got everybody talking about what a great sketch. It was written by one of the kids from I.O. So there is a Chicago connection to the writers this year.
So Pete Davidson is the Saturday Night Live skinny kid.
darky, right.
Yeah, for those of you
Lanky.
Who don't...
Gave it to Kanye last week.
Yeah, that's it.
Gave it to Kanye.
Like, and he's been dating Ariana Grande, and he's head over heels, and he's not dating her anymore.
Well, not only have they been dating since last May, but like 2 weeks after they met, they got engaged. He gave her a $93,000 3-carat diamond ring. They've gotten tattoos of each other. Tribute,
kind of like the ones you and I got.
Yes, yes, indeed. And I don't regret that for one bit.
No.
Maybe where I put your tattoo, I regret a little bit.
That's the awkward part.
Because sometimes it's a little painful. But, they got the tattoos. And yesterday they announced that it's over. They are no longer a couple. Neither one of their camps have commented on anything, but sources close to them who talked to People magazine said that it was too much, too soon, that they're only in their mid-20s, they rushed into it, and, you know, that's that, I guess.
You know, he's got a history of chronic depression. Yep. He lost his dad on 9/11. And he's very open about
about mental illness.
Big a deal mental illness is, and I worry about him a little bit. I worry about him after this.
Well, I think her ex-boyfriend passing away a few weeks ago
of an OD,
Mac Miller,
somebody that she tried to help, that probably messed her head up.
And
a little.
She's canceled a lot of things since that, including her.
SNL,
she was supposed to be on SNL, and then I think this weekend, Dean, they were talking about she had a cancer awareness kind of show.
Well, think about her past couple of years, right?
Yeah. She's Manchester.
Manchester,
England. Manchester, the biggest. Yeah.
I mean, she's a kid.
They seem older than their years.
They are.
You know? Yeah.
They do.
You know what? I think it's good that instead of going through with the marriage.
Totally agree.
And, you know, making a mistake and maybe having kids, you know, it's better that you realize that this is not going to work.
They made the mature choice.
Call it out. But they sure trotted themselves out all over the place, you know, during May through now. You know, so a lot of people are now looking at it. And everybody said when they got engaged, it's like, this isn't going to last. This is ridiculous.
This was Julia Roberts and Lyle Lovett. Yeah. It was that kind of thing.
It's Bieber and Haley.
Yeah, there you go.
But they actually
they're really in love.
Yeah,
I'm curious what's going to happen with the ring, though. As most girls always want to know.
What's normal with something? Do you give the ring back or do you keep it?
Well, I would feel in the case where she makes so much money, you know, that she should give it back.
Mm-hmm.
He
needs the cash.
Don't you think?
Totally.
I don't know what he makes, but it seems I don't know how
he may not take it though.
He might not.
Here's the guy move. No. I don't want it back.
She gets
and then you think about it for an hour and a half and you call.
She makes it into a pendant or something.
Give it to charity.
Charity, yeah.
The Michael Bublé story is very sad.
Well, Michael Bublé gave an interview to the Daily Mail in which he said he is retiring from music. He's tired of seeing his name in headlines. He's tired of, this is to me most revealing, he's sick and tired of celebrity narcissism. Mm. And boy, could everybody take a little lesson from that. I mean, that's what social media is. It's the ultimate exercise of narcissism, period. But he's tired of celebrity narcissism. Said he's quitting the music business, and it was all after some soul searching after his little boy, who at the time was maybe about 3 years old when he was diagnosed with a rare form of liver cancer. Bublé stopped all appearances, stopped everything while his son Noah was going through treatment. Noah, by the way, is in remission now and is doing great, which is fantastic. But Bublé, in that interview, says that that gave him time to like reassess his whole life and says he's getting out of the whole thing. That said, this morning, one of his PR reps said, oh, you misunderstood him. He's not getting out of the music business. He was just saying out loud what he was thinking privately. So we don't really know what's true with this. Bublé saying something in an interview or a PR hack who's about to be out of a job.
Yeah, exactly. How is his little boy? What's the update?
In remission. He's in remission. He's 4 years old now and in remission.
God bless, man.
Yeah.
Lyric Opera Strike over?
Lyric Opera Strike, thank goodness.
Because I play the bassoon, as you know.
I know. You are a hell of a bassooner.
Mm-hmm.
And you know me. I am president of the La Boheme Fan Club. Anytime there's a production here in town, we have conventions.
Mm-hmm.
We dress up like our favorite La Boheme characters.
Teach people how to fall asleep in a very subtle way.
Subtly fall asleep, but they came to an agreement. The musicians and the Lyric Opera came to an agreement over the weekend. It was all ratified by the Chicago Federation of Musicians local yesterday. So they're going to get a raise. There are some concessions that took place, but performances will resume on Wednesday.
I'm out of time to play the Viola Davis, Liam Neeson sound, so watch Channel 9 for that. Dean's playing it all
big
morning.
Big red carpet. They were in town over the weekend for their movie that was shot here.
And what's the breast cancer special?
We're doing, this is our 22nd year of doing an annual breast cancer special. So many advances, so much has changed in the fight against breast cancer since we started doing this years ago. Tonight at 8:30 on WGN-TV, Dina Baer and I, medical reporter Dina Baer and I, will go over some of the latest advances. Call Stories of Hope tonight, 8:30 on the big number now.
Well, and that's the first one you've done since your mom had hers this year, right?
Yes, it is.
So this probably takes on some more meaning.
It does. I mean, I've done this for a long time, but it really became kind of personal this year. My mom was diagnosed with stage one breast cancer, 95 years old, and, you know, you think you can't do surgery, but they did do surgery. My mom's pretty strong. They did the surgery. She's doing well. Didn't have to do chemo or radiation or anything like that. But, you know, when you hear somebody in your family, a loved one, is diagnosed with cancer, it takes on a whole new meaning than 22 years of documentary making.
Yeah. Well, that, good for you, and thanks for doing the work. And you know, I got a good friend that's dealing with a recurrence and a cousin that is at the beginning stages of this. I mean, there's nobody that doesn't know somebody.
Yeah, it's still all over the place, but the good news is that it's far more treatable than it used to be. You know, not all results turn out happy with this, but we know so much more than we did even 5 years ago.
Can you imagine the words "we know so much more" in a segment called Moron Entertainment?
Mm-hmm. That was an accident. I didn't mean it. Sorry.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Bye.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
#842 One of the most talked about races in the country, as you prepare to vote on November 6th, because I have total faith in you, and I know you will, is our own governor's race. And Governor Rauner is here this morning. Again, let me just start with this. I appreciate the access to the show. We have invited J.B. Pritzker, and they do not respond, so I will leave it at that. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you doing, Steve?
I am doing fine. Thanks for coming in.
Great. No, great to be with you.
Basic question right out of the gate. Do you have any money left to spend on this campaign?
I have some. I am being outspent about 4 or 5 to 1 right now, but we've got some, and we're working hard to get our message out there.
I'm just wondering, at some point, I mean, you've done very well in life, and congratulations, but at some point, do you sit down and go, how much are we doing here?
Well, you know, this is a labor of love, Steve. All I care is that we save our state. That's all that matters to me, and it's an opportunity for me to give back. That's the reason I was honored to answer the call when I was asked to run for governor 6 years ago, and I regard it as a privilege. It's a humbling honor, and my wife and I are all in. We're doing everything we can to save our state and create a better future for our children and our grandchildren.
Mr. Madigan can block anything he wants. That's been the problem for these 4 years. How's it going to be different?
Oh, because first and foremost, the speaker is weaker than he's ever been in his career. For the first time in Illinois history, Democrats are actually just supporting me on term limits. And many of the women in the Democratic caucus are fed up with his avoidance or condonement, in effect, of a lot of the sexual harassment that's gone on in his administration and in the Democratic Party. So he's being challenged now. And we've got a balanced budget, finally, after a few years of a tussle. And now we can make incremental change, and we don't have to have big fights or impasses. So I'm optimistic we can make steps every month, every year, improving the future.
The one of the commercials that runs incessantly is the accusation that you let $1 billion be wasted because you were too stubborn to agree on any sort of compromise on a budget. What's your response to that?
It's ridiculous. It's all political spin. The reality, I've proposed all kinds of compromises and much bigger compromises than that. The simple truth is that the speaker had a super majority during most of the budget impasse. He could have passed any budget he wanted at any time. He made it clear in 2015 that his preference was no reforms, no changes whatsoever, and to go have the income tax go back up to, as he said, start go back up to 5%, and then we'll go from there, I think was the exact quote. And that's unfortunately that's what he achieved. And the reality is we can't solve our problems with tax hikes. We've got to do it through economic growth and reforms of government. And that's
well, we've tried it before. We've tried to tax our way out of this, I want to get some other tax stuff in here in a second. But again, just the basic question is, how's it going to be different this time?
Yeah. This is the critical issue. Now now that we have a balanced budget, the first true balanced budget in many, many years and on time, now the changes can be incremental. No reason for impasses, no reason for big changes. Now we got $500 million in pension reform last year. Now I want to get another $500 million this year. We got $300 million in Medicaid savings last year. Now I want to get $500 million this year. Now we can gradually make steps of improvement every year that was so tough when we were running a $3 billion deficit when I first became governor.
Governor Rauner, there's a lot made in this campaign, especially on commercials about raising taxes, and a lot of Republican candidates talking about Democrats are going to raise taxes. Democrats will say it's less of a tax increase and more of tax reform, talking about a graduated income tax plan here in the state of Illinois. You've been against that idea. This would be that the 1% or the rich would pay their fair share, using the words of Democrats. What is your take on a graduated income tax, and do we need tax reform in the state of Illinois?
So, simple fact. We cannot raise taxes in the state of Illinois again without any reforms. And my opponent, my challenger, and the majority in the General Assembly has been advocating for an income tax increase. They know that the concept of a graduated income tax is popular. It's very popular to say, hey, let's just tax rich people. They got to pay more. That's popular. But you can look around the country, the best example is New Jersey. They've already got a high graduate income tax. They already have very high property taxes like us. They can't pay their pensions. They can't balance their budget. Taxing won't solve the problem. It's getting portrayed as, let's raise the income tax, and then we'll miraculously also we'll lower our property tax.
Well, how much money can be raised by taking money from rich people? This is a conversation that we've had for years, that if you take the money from the 1%, you can pay for the 99%. That math doesn't work.
It absolutely doesn't work. And it doesn't work just on the existing budget, but if you look at what my opponent, Challenger, has proposed and has been proposed in the General Assembly, $11 billion in new spending. And even if you phase that in over a couple of years, which some people said is what would happen, you can't get that from the top handful of earners, who, by the way, many of whom have choices where to live, and many will turn into a flood.
But don't you agree that the way that the system works now in the state of Illinois, flat tax, does cause inequities, where you'll have people who are earners who are making more money are not paying, quote-unquote, their fair share?
Well, I'll say this. The states around us are flattening their taxes and lowering their taxes, and they're growing much faster than us, and they're running budget surpluses. The key for Illinois is to get on the positive cycle where economic growth is faster than government spending growth, and we're attracting businesses at such a rate that we don't have to raise taxes. In fact, we can lower taxes and still run budget surpluses. This is happening in Texas. It's Tennessee, Indiana, Wisconsin. The idea that, well, let's solve our budget problem and get more fairness by raising the income tax. You could look at the states who've done it. New Jersey, Connecticut, there's a long list. They can't balance their budgets. And it's because you haven't taken on the structural reasons for the imbalance between economic growth and government growth.
You mentioned business. There's news today that Sears is going to file Chapter 11. Now, the retail sector in and of itself has huge problems.
Yeah.
What do we do to help them?
Well, I tell you what we got to do is help the overall economic climate in Illinois. I'm honored. I've been endorsed by the Illinois Chamber, the Illinois Manufacturers, the National Federation of Independent Business, which is all the small business owners of Illinois, the Associated Builders and Contractors. We were given the Fletcher Award by the National Black Chamber of Commerce as the number one elected official. I was called the elected official who's done more for black-owned business in America in the last 2 years. I am very pro-business because by being a job creators, we grow the economy faster, and that way we have balanced budgets and we can actually reduce our tax burden on our working families. That's the change we need.
I don't want to make this about Pritzker because we got plenty of that on TV 24 hours a day, but have they messaged better than you? And here's why I ask, because I feel like there are accomplishments that you could talk about that you haven't talked about because a lot of it's response.
Yeah. So the fact is I've been outspent, 4-1. And
but is it the messaging? Specifically the messaging.
Part of it's the content. Part of it's just the volume. I'll say that we have had huge accomplishments. And what I put them out there, people often have ignored them. I've talked about it's incredible what we've done in education, in healthcare, in criminal justice, in reforming government. We've done some wonderful things. But, most people respond. The reason negative ads get used in politics?
Because they work.
They work. It's a tragedy, but they work.
And that's why everybody's got to show up to vote, whoever you support. Samber?
So, you were talking about the state finally having a budget, and a lot of the time while you were first started, you were working. Try to get something done there. Are the people down in Springfield now, you said now this is a time where we can do the slower growing planning to make changes. Are these people equipped to get that done down there? Because, to put it in business terms, if you're going to sell your company, you assemble a board of directors that get the company ready to be sold. We were working in a no budget type of time where the people in there may not be the right people to make slow change. You know what I mean?
Why do we give you guys more money when you don't spend it right? That's what it comes down to.
No, that's fair. Well, we're going to have a lot of new members of the General Assembly this after this election, and the ones who are certainly coming back, and there are a fair number that I know, they realize that much of what I'm advocating for, much of what Illinois needs, is not partisan. It's not about D's versus R's. The Democrats in Massachusetts did the health care reform in for their government employees that I'm recommending. They did the workers' comp reform for their businesses that I'm recommending. Democrats in Rhode Island did much of the pension reform that I'm recommending, and Democrats in California have taken on and done term limits and fare maps. These are not partisan issues, and that's the reason I'm optimistic that, but we've got to work for them. We can't just give up, and my opponent has never talked about any of those issues to any material degree. He's talked about tax increases on income and driving and $11 billion of new spending. Turn out the lights if that's what we do. I mean, the flood out of the state will be astronomical.
How are you going to work with the city better, whoever the new mayor is? Because you and Rahm Emanuel were friends,
yeah,
business partners in certain ways before he won the mayor's office. And then not so much.
Yeah.
I believe for the state to operate effectively, the governor's office and the mayor's office in Chicago have to work together. What are you going to do?
Yeah, so you're right. I was longtime friends with the mayor. I'm still fond of him. I'm disappointed in some of his decisions, and frankly, when he got in trouble with the McDonald video, and really after that, he was a different place. He just was not the same, and reforms kind of went out the window after that. So that made it tough for me, and so we got at odds on some key points. I'm excited about the mayoral race. I look forward to working with the new mayor. Many of the
clean
candidates,
slate,
absolutely, and many of the candidates I know very well, and I like them quite a bit.
You want to pick one?
No? Not today.
All right. We need you for a couple more minutes. We'll take a break, come back, and we got a couple more questions for you, and then we'll let you go and run around the state again.
Great.
Governor Rauner's here. What's the campaign website?
BruceRauner.com.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Governor Rauner's here. He, for really an unknown reason, has decided he wants to be governor some more. And again, the website for the campaign, because it's different than the governor's office, is
BruceRauner.com.
The biggest mistake you made in the last 4 years, and here's the reason I ask, is because I saw the president not answer this question last night.
Oh, I have two things that I would do differently. One is to focus very much on lots of baby step improvements and announcing them, playing them up more than we've done. That would number one. And number two, I would have been much more focused with my time on communications. I spent my time doing, not communicating. I would do far more on communicating.
You talked just in the last segment about the partisan nature of our country, and just the way that even the state of Illinois is a very partisan divide when it comes to politics here. When I think of examples of that, I think of your turnaround agenda. I think of what happened in the last 4 years without a budget, and you coming in and saying, you know what, we're doing this, and everyone else get out of the way. And the Democrats are part of the problem as well for entrenching. But it seems like that was more partisan than you seem to be letting on. That seemed to Illinois residents to be the ultimate in partisanship.
Yeah, I would say certain of those pieces, I laid out a 44-point plan. Like, if we did all 44, Illinois would be on a rocket ship. I knew we weren't going to get 44. I didn't even think we were going to get 8. I proposed 5 out of the 44. And we battled, and we got pieces of those 5. But what's so interesting to me is that the changes we need, Democrats have done in other states. That's the critical thing that I need everybody in the state to understand. Democrats in other states have done term limits. They've done fare maps. Democrats in other states have done major pension reform. Rhode Island is the leading example. Democrats in Massachusetts have done the health care reform inside government that I'm recommending. They've done the workers' comp reform that I'm recommending. These are not most of what I've recommended. Not partisan. It's just good government.
You said that there is a shift in the sands in Springfield. And by the way, what a beach down there. And that Madigan doesn't have the same power base he had before. How does that change the world?
Well, when the members of the General Assembly and the Democratic Caucus can vote their conscience more than what they're voting the directive from their boss, many good things will happen.
So you believe you can get more legislation through the House?
Absolutely. No question in my mind. I'm spending a lot of time with members of the General Assembly, and they know in private they agree with most of what I'm trying to do. They know we need it. They know that taxing isn't going to solve the problem, and we need to change. Change is scary. Certain special interest groups don't like it, but they're willing to stand up, I think, more and more to the Speaker.
The far right and the far left, as I've always said, are not the solution. They're the problem. So what do you say to folks in the middle?
I say for all of us in the middle, and I consider myself very much a centrist, and it's very hard to hold the middle, especially today in America's politics and in Illinois politics. Frankly, we are as divided as any state in the country, radically divided by left and right. The nation is radically divided, and I say persistence. We can't give up. Don't give up. Get out and vote. Hold the middle. Find common ground. Work together on both sides of the aisle, and we can get things done. We'll get good things done.
Sometimes you're guilty by association, party-wise. If somebody's not pleased with, say, the president, then if you fall in line, you know, are associated with that party, you get thrown out with the bathwater, you know, there.
Sure. So that's just part of it. That's true.
But what's the compelling argument to those people? What's the thing to say? I struggle trying to, when I explain to people, go out and vote. But I need more than that. I need a...
Yeah, why does the vote matter?
Why does it matter? Yeah.
Oh, boy, every vote matters. I mean, these elections tend to be very, very narrowly decided, and every citizen's vote is critically important. The reality is our nation's been divided, I think, in large part because of the gerrymandering that's gone on across the country. Each party has done it. This is not one
Absolutely.
Side or the other. And it's corroded our democracy, because if a district is drawn really for only Republicans or only Democrats, which has happened devastatingly in Illinois and around the country,
yeah, right.
then only the most radical members of that party can win the primary, and then whoever wins the primary wins the general, because the other party can't even play in that district, and so you get radicalized parties. That's happened across the country.
Quick one.
Yeah, just what's the road to victory when you have third party candidates that are representing issues in the Republican Party, conservatives and libertarians? How do you overcome the fact that there are different, that the party seems to be split in this election?
Well, I strongly believe this election will not be about conservative versus liberal or R versus D. This is about the people against a very, very broken political system that's it's run by one individual, it's funded by my opponent, and that system is clearly failed us for 35 years, and I hope and believe when people go into the polling booth, they'll understand that voting for my opponent means going back to the same policies that got us into this mess. Even though we haven't got as enough done as I want or most anybody in the state wants, what we can't do is give up. We can't give up and just, hey, let's just raise taxes. Let's have $11 billion in new spending. And if we get gerrymandered districts again with the Speaker in 2 years, oh, well. No, don't give up. Let's never back down. Let's work hard together and keep working for change.
It's Governor Rauner. We appreciate you coming in, as always. And kids, remember Schoolhouse Rock. You've got to have the House, the Senate, and the executive branch of the state of government to get anything done. Mr. Madigan has been a block, but I have a feeling that you two are going to kumbaya this together if you win again.
I really think we're going to get good things done in my second term. I'm very, very optimistic.
What, a box of candy or something? What's he like? And take him out for a nice breakfast?
We will definitely be having meals together, no question.
Governor, I appreciate it. Nice to see you.
Steve, great to be with you.
Get out and vote November 6th, and it's BruceRauner.com.
Great. Thanks much.
All right, all the best. News in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Now, before we get to the news here in just a second, I don't know about you guys, but if Governor Rauner communicated through commercials and other ways in the way he did in the last 20 minutes on the show, I think he's got a very good chance of being reelected. He was concise,
yeah,
and he got after it. Again, I just want to make sure people know this. J.B. Pritzker's been invited. He will continue to be invited through the election, and we hope he'll come in.
I think there's a lot. I love when candidates are able to come in studio and be in the moment, because there's a lot still we didn't get. There's a lot of topics and issues that just have not been covered in this gubernatorial race. I mean, they're just all about personality. Elections now are just about cult of personality.
Exactly right.
And I want more. I want more from the governor. I want more from his challenger. I want to understand what are the pressing issues and their take on the pressing issues.
Well, that's right. I mean, 95% of this conversation is about what Rauner can do in the next 4 years. And if Pritzker comes in here, yeah, we'll try to make a 95% or 100% of what he's going to do. Because as you said, and you put it well, all we've heard is you suck, no, you suck. And that's not getting anything done.
And that's how what comes out in debates as well, unfortunately.
What do you stand for?
Right.
Yeah.
End of the day.
How's it going to be different with Pritzker, or how's it going to be different in the next four with Brown?
Yeah, you got it.
Steve Cochran.
Will you please report to the radio booth?
It's Steve Cochran from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN.
9:15. I'm very proud of my son, as you are of your sons and daughters, I'm sure. I'm proud of my daughter, too. A couple of big things today. Amy Cochran starts a new job today. So congratulations
to her.
Still
in the same line of work? Still teaching kids?
Yep. So? She's working with kids with autism and their families and moved to a new company. So good luck to her. We'll hear more about that in the coming days ahead. But that's
I wish
a big
I would
deal.
Have known that when I saw her at the Blackhawks game last Sunday, I would have congratulated her. She's not a big boaster, you know. She
she's not. That's exactly right. But proud of her. And also proud of my kid, Ross Cochran, because, well, amongst other things, he's a great dad. And over the weekend, he got a hold of me, and he was very fired up, as he should be, about this separation of families. And in particular, the United States getting into the kidnapping business. It's a brutal, terrible story. And it appears to be on the verge of taking another lap around when Stephen Miller, one of the president's main immigration advisors, is saying that the separation of families has to continue.
And the president as well, echoing that sentiment.
Yeah, and Ross and I sort of co-wrote. He gave me credit for it, but the majority of the idea for the piece was his. And it's up on Facebook, so I hope you'll read it. It's just an expression of aggravation and opinion on separating families. There's no question our immigration system needs to be fixed. This is not how you fix it. And the United States have never been kidnappers. We can't start now. And we need to fix the problems we've already created. So I hope you give that a read. It's on Facebook. What's my Facebook page?
Steve Cochran Show on Facebook.
Pretty creative that way.
Yep.
Joining us in the studio right now, and we're happy to have him, is Father John Pawlikowski. Was I close, Father?
That's close.
Yeah, lean right into that microphone for me,
no,
my friend.
No cigar.
You do it for me. How do you say your name, sir?
Well, it depends. If you anglicize it, it's Pawlikowski. If you give it the real Polish pronunciation, it's Pawlikowski.
Kowski, yeah.
Well, Pawlikowski, I was close.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess we covered that. A leading figure in promoting Catholic-Jewish dialogue and interfaith relations and a founding member of the United States Holocaust Memorial Council. Look, in a world where we know we all need to get along a little better, why is this a passion for you now?
It's a passion because I think the level of social hatred in this country and throughout the world is increasing. And I think the Holocaust and the study of the Holocaust provides an excellent example of how easily social hatred can arise even in rather sophisticated societies, and also provides us some basis for reflection on how we counter that through education and other means.
There used to be a time where there would be constant anti-Semitism coming from the Catholic Church or from other faith organizations. Have you seen that, obviously, over time, and I think as society has changed, that has changed, that through your works, through your teachings, through the interfaith just message, that we are seeing less anti-Semitism from religions?
Well, I think in terms of religion, the answer would be yes. There has been a diminution of, I think, anti-Semitic teaching in the mainline religious traditions, but it's not all gone. And there's a more subtle form, because even if you don't have the kind of vulgar anti-Semitism that was present in many churches over the centuries, or you don't have the pogroms and things like that, nonetheless, there can be a subtle putting down of other religions that is the basis. Once you say you are superior and some other group is inferior, you are laying the seeds for potential destruction.
And isn't it the ultimate hypocrisy of Christian? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. So am I. Yes, I hope. Goes with the outfit. Because the ultimate hypocrisy to me is just that, that if we're all God's children, how is any religion better than any other? There are different points of view.
Well, I mean, I think we can have an understanding that in various religious traditions, and I work extensively not only in the Christian-Jewish dialogue, but in wider interreligious dialogue. Mm-hmm. With the Parliament of the World's Religions. But I think it's sure you can say, I believe in certain areas my religious tradition has a better perspective, a better understanding. But that doesn't mean I can't learn from other religious traditions something that's very important. And this was really the key sentence in the document on the Catholic Church's relationship to other religions, Nostra Aetate, over 50 years ago, that was issued by the Vatican Council, when it says the Catholic Church does not reject any authentic and perspectives from other religious traditions.
There are, you know, as we speak, the U.S. Holocaust Museum has done tremendous work, and we've had them on the programs here at WGN over the years. But you know, we will be talking about not just about what happened in the Holocaust, of course, but even current atrocities like what's happening, genocide around the world, and there this happens in different places, the situation in Syria, but it almost always seems to happen in the name of religion. Are they using religion when there is a genocide or a war, a civil war? Are they just using religion as a cover for their true intentions?
I think in many cases, if not most cases, that is perfectly correct. One of the things we did, and as already been said, I was very much involved with the early days of the museum, the building of the museum, the development of the permanent exhibition, and so on. So we had to think about this, the many of these issues. But one of the things that Elie Wiesel, as chair, told us, we can't only be historical museum. We must be a museum that also speaks to contemporary forms of human degradation. And that's why he promoted and got accepted that the motto for the Holocaust Museum should be remembering for the future.
Yeah.
And the so-called, there was a proposal that went back to a person from the American Jewish Committee, Hyman Bookbinder, who in the legislation that created the Holocaust Museum as a federal institution got in a provision for the creation of a committee of conscience. Now, that committee floundered for a while, mostly for political reasons. Some in the State Department did not want the Holocaust Museum mucking around in foreign affairs, as they put it. But under the Clinton administration, we got the signal that they were more open. And actually, this is where Chicago contributed, because it was, in some respects, what we like to call the Chicago Mafia that really got the Committee of Conscience going.
The good Mafia.
The good Mafia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Leo Melamed of the Merck, people like that, Ambassador John Kordak, myself, we got that started. And so it's a kind of legacy at the museum contributed by Chicago.
Today, you will be honored, sir, at a luncheon where 2,000 of your good friends will be gathered as well. Are you cooking?
I sort of couldn't find enough eggs to I'm afraid someone else is cooking it, but it's kind of an intimate gathering.
Yeah, 2,000 close friends. You'll do a Q&A, I understand?
There's a video.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's fine. Yeah. And if people have questions for you, they can follow you around in the hallway and get them answered.
They can indeed. Yeah. I don't know if they can get them answered, but they can at least ask them.
It's an honor to have you here. And I know when President Carter first brought you or asked you to be a part of this, it was a big deal in a much tougher environment. And I'm sad to say that it feels like it's gotten tougher again. And we need you now more than ever.
Well, we just had a major conference sponsored by UNESCO at the UN during UN Week, which really laid out many of the challenges that anti-Semitism still presents around the world.
I don't know who said it first, but we can do so much more by working together than we can by working apart, right?
Exactly. You couldn't have said it better.
Well, and like, this isn't untrue of, I hate bringing it up constantly, the Me Too movement and changes and balances in power. everybody's better off when there's a variety of different opinions and beliefs together working for things.
I couldn't agree more.
And pass it on to your kids and your grandkids, because that's how we stop the lines of anti-Semitism and hatred, and we start bringing more love in the world.
That's right. And we just have to believe in the fundamental equality of everyone. If we believe in that, then I think the power differential can be undercut, if not eliminated.
You probably know this, but you can help the Holocaust Museum anytime, and you can certainly see a lot of what happens and visit through the website at ushmm.org. As I said, it's an honor to have you here, and I believe, after spending 20 minutes with you, I got a better shot at your last name. Father John Pawlikowski.
Close. You still
don't.
Good.
You got the end.
You still don't get the cigar.
All right. Did I get the John part right? John was okay?
Yeah. John is correct, yeah.
Nice Father, to see you,
great
Father.
Great to have you.
Thank you for coming.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
A couple other clips from last night's 60 Minutes interview with President Trump I wanted to play for you. Trump was talking to Leslie Stahl about General Mattis. General Mattis is believed to be the one person between us and World War III that he's the level-headed Pentagon head, and as the defense secretary, doesn't scream at Trump, doesn't challenge him in the ways you may have, like I did, read about in the book Fear by Bob Woodward, and has a nice way of handling Mr. Trump and his ego. A question about Mattis leaving from Leslie Stahl.
Well, I don't know. He hasn't told me that. I have a very good relationship with him. I had lunch with him 2 days ago. I have a very good relationship with him. It could be that he is. I think he's sort of a Democrat, if you want to know the truth. But General Mattis is a good guy. We get along very well. He may leave. I mean, at some point, everybody leaves. Everybody. People leave.
I'm really trying to do this without comment. Leslie Stahl from 60 Minutes again, asking Donald Trump if he will pledge right here, right now, to not shut down the Mueller investigation.
Will you pledge that you will not shut down the Mueller investigation?
Well, I don't pledge anything, but I will tell you, I have no intention of doing that. I think it's a very unfair investigation, because there was no collusion of any kind.
But you won't
pledge?
There is
no collusion. I don't want to pledge. Why should I pledge to you? If I pledge, I'll pledge.
32 people so far, all within Trump's inner circle, have been indicted or pled guilty. And really, one of the more awkward moments in a very awkward interview, Leslie Stahl and President Trump. Trump getting a little upset with Leslie. Listen to what he says here.
I'm just telling you that you treated me much differently on the subject.
I disagree, but I don't want to have that fight with you.
Hey,
or
it's okay.
Or whatever, another fight with
Leslie,
you.
Leslie, okay. It's okay. In the meantime, I'm president and you're not.
That's right. I'm president and you're not. Argument over. I'm president and you're
I'm
not.
President.
When's the last time you used that type of, like, when you were in seventh grade, maybe at the latest, fifth grade?
You know, it's funny, Sandberg, it's funny you say that, because who's more hard to manage, and you guys both have junior high kids. A junior high kid has gotten old enough where they think they understand the world, but they're also not, they're just not that cute anymore when they're doing their thing. So he is acting like a seventh grader, and that's an insult to seventh graders.
It is.
Yeah, but that works for his base, right? That's exactly what they want to
hear. I don't know.
I think it does.
I don't know. I think there's hardcore funny Trump supporters who hear that and go, are you freaking kidding me?
I don't know. I get the
Joe, can I hear
it
that one more time?
I'm just telling you that you treated me much differently on the subject.
I disagree, but I don't want to have that fight with you.
Hey,
or
it's okay.
Whatever, another fight with
Leslie,
you.
Leslie, okay. It's okay. In the meantime, I'm president and you're not.
See, he's not saying that to be funny.
Well, I think it's hilarious. And I guess you're right. I'm not
right.
I'm judging him as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, he's not saying
Justin,
that to be funny.
That's how he said earlier.
You got a great podcast.
You read that transcript. When you read that in the transcript, did it come off?
It doesn't come off. I'm telling you, add the voice of Trump, and it becomes much more just caricature.
Sure.
When you read the words, I read the transcript. Just talking about this earlier this morning. I did not see the interview. I read the transcript. It doesn't come across like that. But when you hear it, you're right. It has this, like,
I'm president.
You sure? That was a true laugh from me.
And
that
you're
you would,
not.
That you would say that. Yeah.
I like the start of it, too. I mean, you treated me bad. You were not nice to me.
Yeah.
You took my cookies.
Right.
I mean, come on, man.
And yeah, seventh graders, really. Seventh. We're talking more 10, 9, 8. Let's go 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
And again, it's an insult to second graders.
All right.
It's 9:33. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
I'm president, and you're not.
You know what? Just ahead of the Chicago Accent Challenge, there's still a couple of lines open for you to call. Justin tells me he's got a very big announcement coming up.
I do.
This is a big thing. There's a big announcement coming
up. I've been working.
So if you think you've got the Chicago accent, well, I'm just saying it could be something in it for you. Mm. What's the number?
312-981.
Did you say 312?
312-981-7200.
All right. Favorite actor, Benny. Favorite drink, old Dos. Bears, Hawks, Sox, Bulls. Play a little poker. Spend time with the wife. Take her out to Bennigan's. See if they cook chops right. Go and get a laser disc. Projection screen TV. Portillo's Italian beef. And a movie star, Tommy B. Back in the damn Buick. Cut on WCKG. Caught a song by Glenn Frey in an interview with Dennehy. So I'm driving down Western Ave. Think I'm gonna stop at Zayers. Got a splitting freaking headache. So I popped a couple bears. So I'm back in the damn Buick. Think I need an oil check. The baddest of George Thorogood. Smoke stalls on my deck. Read the sports section. Bears and their O-line. Trying to find a decent Fiero with a for sale sign. It's like Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire for Chicago.
That's a song, Denny. That's one of the best songs ever created.
That's pretty strong.
Serengeti, Chicago.
That is pretty strong.
Perfect theme song for the Chicago Accent Challenge. This is a challenge that we've been doing on WGN for about a year now. And every week, if you have the best Chicago accent and you answer a couple of simple questions and we judge you to determine you to have the best, you get a pizza. And you are also guaranteed.
What kind of pizza?
A Lou Malnati's pizza.
I don't know why I'm doing Brooklyn here, but what kind of pizza?
And
you
are
New York, so you have the East Coast accent.
And you are entered into the grand prize, $333, a live show. That if you win that, it's sort of like think Bloodsport with Van Damme, but for accents.
You didn't sell that.
No, I didn't.
No, you really didn't. Let's go here. Johnny first. Johnny's in South Plainfield. Justin.
Johnny, how are you, bud?
Hey, how you doing?
There it is. See? Okay, so where'd you grow up, and what parish did you grow up in?
You know what? I was just outside of Chicago, but I grew up in Cicero.
Cicero, okay, that's good.
That's strong. Cicero, does he get bonus points for that?
Bonus points for Cicero. Okay. So the idea is we want to hear from Johnny. The Chicago accent challenge is, you know, this is obviously, I believe, the best accent in the country. And it comes not, and you're part of this, Steve, as well, because it does also, and Ted McClellan will tell you, it comes from the Buffalo area. It's migration from the Buffalo area down. That's where the Chicago accent comes from.
I didn't know that.
And Johnny has,
I did not know that.
Yeah, Johnny has a lot of, already you can hear the distinction in his accent. But we're going to ask you a couple questions, Johnny, to get you ready. You ready to play?
Hey, let her rip, you know.
All right, let's go ahead. Here we go. All right. Johnny, how do you get over by Maz?
Huh?
How do you get over by Maz?
So over by, she's over by there.
Where?
Where?
Yeah, give us directions.
Directions? You gotta hop on. When I get to Maz, I gotta hop on 355. Then I cut over to LaGrange.
Okay.
And then I gotta take that up.
Okay, great. Second question. Welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Yeah. Give me three dogs. Just onions and mustard.
Mustard.
You want ketchup on those?
Are you out of your mind?
All right, here we go. Third question for Johnny here. Grew up in Cicero, so this should be an easy one for you. Finish this phrase. Solozzi Edelson Chevrolet.
Oh.
Come on. You gotta have
Solozzi, where you always save more money.
There it is.
Wow. Yeah, nice
way
save.
To go, Johnny.
Nice
All right.
save.
Thanks, Johnny.
All right,
good
Johnny,
job,
hold on, Johnny.
All right, strong start. Johnny's strong.
Very strong
the
start.
Only thing I will give Johnny and the judges, is he's putting it on thick. So we all have a Chicago accent, whether you're living there. So he's playing the caricature. He's playing the Dub Bears.
That's a natural performance thing to do.
I understand.
He called in for the challenge.
But the diamonds in the roughs are when you get someone who calls in who does not have to put it on thing.
So what you're looking for is people that can't help themselves.
But I like how he told Steve.
Yeah.
What did he say about the ketchup?
Are you out of your mind?
Are you out of your friggin' mind?
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind? That's what I'll put next to Johnson.
All right, now this one I'm concerned about because Lexi's in Madison, Wisconsin.
All right, Lexi. Oh.
Maybe she grew up here.
Yeah. Maybe she did. All right, go ahead, Lexi.
Lexi, welcome to the challenge.
Hey, guys.
All right, so Lexi, did you grow up in Chicago?
I actually grew up in Rockford, Illinois.
Okay. So you're familiar. Do people
just for you guys to know, I do not think I have a Chicago accent, but everybody in Madison, Wisconsin thinks I have a Chicago accent.
There you go. That was my question. All right. I like it. And so what do you tell them? Do you don't believe you do?
I don't believe I do, but also this summer my mom and I went to L.A., and the first restaurant we went to, our waitress told me that I had a heavy Chicago accent, and I just did not understand.
What, why? Because you were like, can I get a beef?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. At least now you're ready. Okay, are you ready for a couple questions here?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's get Lexi on the line. Here we go. All right. Lexi, how do you get over by Ma's house?
All right. Well, I'm really bad at directions. So from my apartment in Madison, we're going to go on the Beltline, and then we're going to take 90 over to Rockford, and it's pretty easy from there.
You got an over in there. That's good.
Yeah, we got an over.
Over is always good.
I'm starting to hear it a little bit, but it's cute on her.
Right. And women definitely compete in this category.
Sure.
You always think of the guys because of the Bears and that whole bit, but women definitely compete when it comes to Chicago accent. Okay, here we go. Welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Yeah, I'll get a roast beef.
Roast beef. That might be a tough. That's definitely
it's a beef,
Wisconsin.
Right?
It's Italian.
It's like
beef.
An Arby's thing.
Yeah, I'll ask you a third question here. What do you get on your pizza?
From Lou Malnati's, I'll take a deep dish sausage.
I'm hearing that a little bit again.
I can hear it in the sausage.
Yeah, I'm hearing it a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, one more question.
Not quite sausage, but you know.
I'm now in the mood for some sausage pizza.
Okay, you're in Madison, Wisconsin, so here's one for you. Can you name the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears?
It's Trubisky.
Okay, Trubisky.
Very good.
All right, good. All right, Lexi, thank
you. Again, there's a real borderline there.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Hold the line. We got something for you. 312-981-7200.
Were you hoping for a Trubinsky?
Trubinsky,
The silent N or whatever.
Do you go for a Kaminsky?
I'll take a Kaminsky, yeah.
Yeah.
I just see with Lexi.
Can you imagine if Trubinsky played a Kaminsky?
She has a definite. She has a definite accent. But she was thrown off by the sausage. She said she didn't go with the sausage.
All right, now we're going to have to bring this back, obviously, many times, especially with the big...
Yeah, big announcement.
Now, do you announce a winner between these two? Or these?
Yeah, we'll take a winner over Lexi and Johnny, but I want to go around the horn and see what you guys think. Who would you pick? Would you pick Johnny or Lexi? Carm?
Johnny.
Well, if we go with your complaint of Johnny pouring out too thick, I would say Lexi was a little more authentic.
Yeah, she didn't fake it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if Johnny faked it either, but maybe in a couple.
I did like the yelling at Steve.
Yeah, same here. I got to go Johnny because he yelled.
Johnny, and he did get the Solozzi Edelson. And the one thing I will say about Lexi.
There's no way you could have Googled it that fast.
I don't know if they would even
see that.
I don't think that she would. I don't think that Portillo's would give her the beef if she ordered a roast beef.
They'd say Arby's is next door.
They'd be like, that's the wrong store. So I'd have to go with Johnny as well.
I think it's
so
Johnny
wins. Now, the big announcement,
which is great,
I have done it. I have booked the venue and the date for the grand prize. So not only does Johnny win a Lou Malnati's gift card, but he now enters into the grand prize competition for $333.
Yes.
Now, where is this going to happen?
Now, this is going to happen. I was asked to do the Chicago Podcast Festival, which is a great festival in town. And I countered by saying, I don't want to get up there and just do a podcast. I would like to do a big show. And so I pitched the Chicago Accent Challenge as the home. They agreed. So Sunday night, December 2nd, at the Chicago Theater Works on Belmont, there will be the blood sport of Chicago accents, the Karate Kid-like tournament of the Dems and Does. The Chicago Accent Challenge will be live on stage with all the winners.
I don't know if you've played this out yet, but will it be like an elimination?
Yeah, we'll have a round of
16.
Yeah, it'll be a 16. There'll be judges, celebrity judges who will
a spelling bee.
It'll be like a spelling bee, exactly.
And you're going to switch the questions up.
Yep. I have a long list. So the Chicago Accent Challenge will stay with us on Mondays for a couple weeks until we get to the December 2nd. So you'll have a chance. Johnny from South Plainfield just qualified, and he'll add the other winners who've had over the last 6 or 8 months here.
I think one of these days, man, you got to go out and find these people on the street.
They're there.
Right. Yes. Because we've had a few callers that called in for other things that would have been great accent challenge candidates.
Someone calls in who has a great Chicago accent. I'm like, could you call back on Monday?
Right. Right. Should I just get your number? No, weirdo.
So Johnny wins the Chicago accent challenge today, and we'll do another one coming up on Monday.
Can you put some details up on the website?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Well, one of those website situations.
Chicago Podcast Festival, Sunday night, December 2nd. Oh, it's going to be... Ooh. That's going to be nasty.
I registered for an Instagram account this weekend.
What?
Wow.
Wow, look at you on the IG.
I'm not saying I'm going to use it.
When do you find out if you get it?
No.
I'm waiting for the approval committee.
Now, Steve Bertrand uses his Instagram account very well. Now, you're not on it just to complain about what people are putting on it, are you? Because Instagram's my favorite social media, and I'm not up for bashing.
Cochran, too old for Insta. That's the handle.
Okay.
Cochran, the number too old
but
for
But you're not
going to
just
Insta.
Complain about it, are you?
No. Did I complain? No.
Not yet, no. It's been a
And you'll post. I'm not a fan of the people who get on it and don't post.
And just are voyeurs?
I think I'm just going to have Pete post, and I'll take credit for the good pictures.
Steve Bertrand posted a picture from his trip where he and his wife had their eyes closed. It was funny.
I'm trying to see if we can figure out a way to show how slow life really is, as opposed to just pictures of food and pictures of, what do you call them, hot dog legs, and all the things that end up as cliches on Instagram.
Okay, you're complaining right now, just so you know. You joined it, and you're complaining.
No, it's a parody.
I don't want to be a part of these complaining conversations. I love Instagram.
Okay, Steve, I just joined Instagram as well.
Yeah.
Me and you both, because Stephanie, our boss, literally took my phone out of my hands and said, you have to be on Instagram and set it up on my phone.
And I tagged you in a photo.
Great picture of the pancake to start.
I've only done one so far, but I just did it because I want pictures of my grandchild, and that's the only way I can get... Because they post all the time.
I'm going to take pictures of other people's food. I'm just going to wander around restaurants and take pictures of their food.
But it's so stressful because you're like, oh my gosh, you have a good thing to post. And you're like, do I put it on Facebook? Do I put it on Instagram? Do I tweet it? What do I do?
America, how do we do it?
It's freaking me out.
All right, Grandma.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Well, Wendy, you're here. What are you doing today?
Steve Dale is bringing up a panther.
Is
really?
That right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
The panther.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You mean like a kitten?
No,
a Carolina Panther.
Yeah, one of the Carolina Panthers, a defenseman.
Yeah. Did you have a nice weekend?
Yes, Steve, I did.
You're mentioning good-looking football players. That Kiko Alonso or on the Dolphins.
Kiko Alonso.
Yeah,
that's exactly what Bill and I were just thinking.
Handsome.
He looks just like a Troy Aikman-style football player of a half-shirt type era. I'm sure Wendy likes him.
Stop!
I don't know who he is.
Wait, let me get you a photo, Wendy.
It was distracting the Bears offense, seeing him, how handsome he is.
Oh, that
you think that's what ruined it?
He was all right.
That's what ruined the game.
We almost won. Doesn't that count for something? Yeah.
You don't get participation ribbons anymore in the NFL.
I'm with Wendy. It's fun to wild ride losses better than the losses in the past where it's been like, wow, we're really getting beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay.
At least there was a game to watch until they lost.
I guess I'm done.
How did Ed Obradovich handle this loss?
He was great.
Was he great?
He thought it was awesome.
Even when the Bears win big, like 2 weeks ago, they won by 40 points, and he was angry.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
That's OB. Carm, how much cursing is there when the mics are off?
A lot, Steve. I would say excessive cursing, if that's...
Is there more, like, by volume, are there more curse words than non-curse words?
Probably, yeah. I would think that the answer to that is yes.
Does he swear more than me?
That's tough.
Oh, yes.
Did you ever hear them use a swear word that you had never heard before?
I've heard, it wouldn't be a word, Bill, but the actual level.
Are there a lot of conjunctions?
It's more of a grunt.
The conjunction, the loudness, the actual visceral hate is alarming. It would be a word.
Sounds like fun. See you tomorrow.